Blog Talk Radio.
And we're going to have to come to the grips with the fact that they told us exactly what they were going to do. They wrote a document called the Project for a New American Century.
Don't ever say I didn't warn you. That's about all one can do. Anything these creatures take, the opposite is probably true. But every day their grip is getting stronger. We must not prune the tree of evil any longer. Every day the tyrant's getting closer. Will you sit back and watch?
What can I get with 2.3 trillion? When does a citizen become a civilian? When did the heroes morph into the villains? How can two planes powderize three buildings? These are questions that could get you murked. Politically, socially, physically put into the dirt. Many swear that there's some kind of conflict of interest within. The conflict depends upon what you're interested in. You can chant 9/11 was an inside job all day until you say the Mossad and pay closer attention to Flight 175 and the odd cylindrical pod beneath the fuselage. Then it's 2 plus 2 level addition after you factor in the flight termination system. Then flash back to the cash the good rabbi stole. September 10th style, right down the rabbit hole. You can get unlimited corporate news. You can have any mercenaries you choose.
What can I get with 2.3 trillion?
You can steal a couple million souls. The missile they hit the Pentagon with was not an act of randomness. It murdered accountants, bookkeepers, and budget analysts. That side of the building was retrofitted prior to this to withstand bomb blasts, the nickname the Catcher's Mitt. If that don't give you some kind of clue why they blew the mortar, maybe you should take some medication for your new disorder. If buildings are burning, don't ever trust a news reporter with 267 stories of gruesome slaughter. Don't ever mention Dov Zakim and trillion stolen, much less missile-equipped Boeings, even remote controlling with System Planning Corporation International, the folks that see if you got some buildings you'd like to crash into. But that's impossible without the proper capital. That's why I'm asking you what you would do with unimaginable wealth. So much money you can't delve in it. Enough to buy 10 presidents and 12 senators.
What can I get with 2.3 trillion?
You can get unlimited corporate news. That's right.
What can I get with 2.3 trillion?
You can have any mercenaries you choose.
All night. What can I get with 2.3 trillion?
You can steal a couple million souls.
Thank you.
Our government has a firm policy not to capitulate to terrorist demands, that no concessions policy remains in force. In spite of the wildly speculative and false stories about arms for hostages and alleged ransom payments, we did not, repeat, did not trade weapons or anything else for hostages.
The ballot of the bullet, the freedom up from bullshit. Will we ever do it bigger? Just keep settling for little shit. We brag on having bread, but none of us are bakers. We all talk having greens, but none of us on acres. If none of us on acres, and none of us grow wheat, then who will feed our people when our people need to eat? So it seems our people starve from lack of understanding, cause all we seem to give them is some balling and some dancing. And some talking about our car and imaginary mansion. We should be indicted for bullshit we inciting. Children deaf and pretending it's exciting. We are advertisements for agony and pain. We exploit the youth, we tell them to join the gang. We tell them dope stories, introduce them to the gang. Just like our lover North introduced us to cocaine in the 80s when them bricks came on military planes.
A few months ago I told the American people I did not trade arms for hostages. My heart and my best intentions still tell me that's true, but the facts and the evidence tell me it is not.
The end of the Reagan era, I'm like Lemma 12, old enough to understand that shit had changed forever. They declared a war on drugs, like a war on terror. But what it really did was let the police terrorize whoever. But mostly black boys, but they would call us niggas and lay us on our belly while they fingers on their triggers. They boots was on our head, they dogs was on our crotches, and they would beat us up if we had diamonds on our watches. And they would take our drugs and monies as they pick our pockets. I guess that's the privilege of policing for some profit. But thanks to Reaganomics, prison turned to profit, cause free labor's the cornerstone of U.S. economics. The slavery was abolished unless you are in prison. You think I ambush intends and read the 13th Amendment? Involuntary servitude and slavery it prohibits. That's why they giving drug offenders time and double digits. Ronald Reagan was an actor, not at all a factor. Just an employee of the country's real masters. Just like the Bushes, Clinton and Obama. Just another talking head telling lies on teleprompters. If you don't believe the theory, then argue with his logic. Why did Reagan and Obama both go after Gaddafi? We invading sovereign soil, going after oil. Taking countries is a hobby. Paid for by the oil lobby. Same as in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I'm a dinner judge, say they coming for Iran. They only love the rich and how they load the pole. If I say any more, they might be at my door. Who the fuck is that? Staring in my window, doing that surveillance on Mr. Michael Rinder. I'm dropping off the grid before they pump the lead. I leave you with a word, I'm glad Reagan dead.
Everybody to the ABC show. Thanks for tuning in this Friday evening. Last Friday in 2012. And on the edge of everybody's tongue, got all of us on the edge of our seats, we had the fiscal cliff. The fiscal cliff. Will we go over the cliff? Will they come in like a white knight and save us at the last minute? And what's it going to mean? And hi to everybody in the chat. I know a couple of people yelled out. I just saw my buddy Jay pop in. Hey, Jay. But hi to everybody out there. You know, a couple of things. One is last Friday I had payday on and we cut it short. And we talked about getting back together this Friday. I have to say, with the holidays and everything, I didn't really reach out to them to confirm or touch bases on that until like today. This afternoon, just touched base with them. Hey, are we going to do this or whatever? topic for tonight. I wanted to spend some time talking about this fiscal cliff. And not so much the ins and outs and the details of, you know, look, I ain't a specialist or nothing. And, you know, I ain't spent all this time researching everything to figure out, you know, well, the intricacies. And look, you know, it's the way I look at it is the same old thing. It's the same plot, the same agenda, the same devils that's running this agenda. So the question is the motives and the timing and what is the agenda call for, and that's how I'm looking at it. But I want to spend a little time talking about that. And in the show description, I put up there fiscal cliff and physical cliff. It's kind of two things there. One is that we got a lot of people that talk about it being a physical cliff. I think they just, you know, mistake the words, get it mixed up. But I put that in there also because, you know, I think there is something to this idea of, you know, if you think in terms of a physical cliff, figuratively speaking, but a physical cliff, you know, what we're talking about in a physical cliff is something that you can fall off of. You know, you're planted on the ground, high up. It only goes so far and there's no more land. You step farther off of that, you're going to fall down, take a nosedive. You're going to get hurt. That would be a physical cliff. And figuratively speaking, what I'm looking at is, aside from the fiscal aspect of this, the economic aspect, you know, what is everything else that's going on around this? You know, we still get these stories periodically about the government arming itself. You know, we still have this security and surveillance. You know, we had the shooting in Newtown a week or so ago, and now there's talk about guns, repeal, gun repeal, or not that, but what's that? Reducing the availability of guns. You know, they want to mess with that. All of this is happening at the same time that the economy is going through this chaos. And, you know, it's pretty apparent, it's obvious to see to anybody that's paying attention, that there's, you know, this preparation that's going on. It's like these people are aware of where we're going. And laws are being created. You know, the taking away of your rights is being accepted and promoted. And you know, and authoritarianism is being codified. And what really gets me about this is it's the same thing that I've said from early on. And, you know, half the people don't want to, you know, nobody seems to want to spend too much time talking about this. We want to go on and talk about 1913 and Abraham Lincoln. And, you know, we want to go back 100 years. And you may very well be right about that's when everything started falling apart. But you're here right now. What you know for sure, what you saw with your own eyes, what you witnessed is 911 and the installing or the institution of this police state. You saw them bring about this Patriot Act. You saw them bring about the warrantless wiretapping. You witnessed it. And a lot of you guys, well, I won't say here, I'm not sure, because the people here are more aware of what's happening. But a lot of people actually helped to promote the Patriot Act and helped to promote warrantless wiretapping. You justified it. You know, I believe that quite a few people here helped to ridicule those of us who kept talking about the Patriot Act and kept talking about 911 and kept talking about Bush laying the groundwork for this tyranny. And I say that because very many people here and everywhere, particularly these people that call themselves conservatives, you know, you ridicule when anybody brought that up. You said, here we go, let's blame Bush again. Yeah, you know, blame everything on Bush. It's a big joke. And then you spend all your time bashing Obama, saying that that's all he did was blame Bush. As if no other president blamed his predecessor. And I'm not defending Obama, and I'm going to come to him, and he's a devil like the rest of them. But the problem that I have is we stay ignorant and unwittingly assist this tyranny because we ignore the foundation of this thing. And we stay in this partisan mode, even when we say we're not partisan. So we don't put the links together. And we end up at best in something of a malaise where we're just sitting and wondering what's going to happen. Well, if you were paying attention to what has been happening, and if you see that these people is the same people that was under Bush that's there now under Obama, if you see that it's a continuous agenda that's been enabled from this 911, then you wouldn't be going on about this the fretting over the fiscal cliff or the, you know, Obama did this and he signed this and he did that. You'd be looking at this bigger picture. And you wouldn't be supporting this war on terror, which is enabling all of this. And I know it sounds like a broken record to a lot of you guys, but damn it, that's what it is. This war on terror enables all of this. So here we are with this supposed fiscal cliff. And just real briefly, what is it about this thing? How do we get here at this point where it's, what's that, sink or swim, is the 11th hour, and if they don't make an agreement, it's the end of the world kind of crap. That's because of this stupid agreement that they made, what was it, a year, 2 years ago, to create this super Congress. This is Obama and his team and Boehner and the Republicans coming to this pathetic, devious, you know, I can't even say it's an agreement. It's an obvious part of the script. But what they did basically was they gave up their responsibility for managing the budget of the country and said, well, you know, I don't agree with you and you don't agree with me, so let's just make an agreement. If we don't agree by a certain time, all of this stuff's going to happen automatically. Then I can say it's your fault, you can say it's my fault. You know, nobody can point to one specifically. But when you release you give up your rights, give up your responsibility. We put you in the office to represent this country, to manage the budget, to look out for the monetary, the fiscal responsibility in the government, and you surrender it to consequence. It's all a scam. Now let me do this. I got a couple of calls. Before I bring you guys up, I just want to read one of these. I have a couple of articles on this fiscal cliff, but here's a short one by Henry McCowell. And, you know, his viewpoint on it is quite a bit different than what we hear a lot of. But at any rate, let me drop this in the chat and I'll read this real quick, and then I'll go to the calls. Okay, there we go. All right, this particular article is America in Denial Over Fiscal Cliff. It says trillions in mandatory tax hikes and spending cuts are going to slam the brakes on the U.S. and world economy. Everyone is pretending it isn't happening. He mentions here, Tim Geithner has told Canadian Finance Minister Jim Flattery, fasten your seatbelt. This is dated December the 12th. He goes on to say, would the Illuminati miss this excellent opportunity to wreak more havoc and suffering? After all, the New World Order out of chaos, is their motto. Goes on to say, the day after Obama's re-election, the stock market had a nasty sell-off, which continued for another 2 days. The prospect that Obama and the GOP would not resolve the fiscal cliff, in quotes, and spark a recession caused a panic. Since then, a Prozac-like state has set in. In spite of the fact that there has been no progress on the impasse, the stock market has powered higher almost every day. It doesn't do this in the best of times. Are investors being set up? Either the market has decided that the GOP is going to cave and the fiscal cliff, in quotes, is no longer of concern, or it is dangerously out of touch. Either way, there is an eerie degree of unanimity and complacency about serious budget and debt issues that have caused major panics in the past. Perhaps the complacency is due to the Fed injecting $85 billion into the U.S. economy each month, or $1 trillion a year. Where does this stimulus money come from? When the Fed creates money, it goes on the tab of the U.S. taxpayer. And within this article, it's links to, like, it talks about how it goes to the tab of the U.S. taxpayer. There's a link to that that gives you more detail. Goes on to say, is it possible that while lawmakers are trying to cut debt, the Fed is increasing it by $1 trillion a year? Do we have a case of the government pressing the brake pedal while the Fed is pressing the accelerator? I rely on those more knowledgeable than I to explain. Goes on to say, this is a charade. The reason I'm not as sanguine as others is that most U.S. legislators are Freemasons, including Boehner and Obama. These are the people who brought us Pearl Harbor, 9/11, Katrina, and the credit crash. This on top of two world wars, the Cold War, Korea, Vietnam, and Iraq. Are they going to miss this excellent opportunity to wreak more havoc and suffering? After all, New World Order out of chaos is their motto. What better way to discredit democracy than this kind of gridlock? Boehner and Obama are acting out a charade. More spending cuts, says Boehner. More tax revenue, says Obama. Neither is talking about debt forgiveness, and this is what it's about. Neither is talking about debt forgiveness or debt-free money creation. Independent economists believe this is the only real solution. More than half of the $17 trillion U.S. debt is owed to the private central banking families who created it out of thin air. Why should Americans pay it back? Currency is a medium of exchange, like a coupon. Nobody can own it. But the Illuminati Jewish banking families do own it. They create it as a debt to themselves and charge interest, an estimated $300 billion a year. Freemasons are paid agents of these bankers. Their job is to define the debate so that the real issue is not addressed, and the debt scam is perpetuated. The role of the mass media is to put lipstick on this pig. And I agree with what he's saying there. You know, let me go ahead and go to a couple calls here real quick. We'll come back and get back on that. Skype caller, I believe. You there?
Yeah. Hey, ABC. How you doing?
Hey, what's happening? It's the Red Pill?
Yes, sir, it is.
Hey,
Happy
how you
New
doing?
Year. Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you.
So we all survived December 21st, obviously, right?
Right.
Yeah. So that's a good thing. And a couple things. I want to talk about Payday Monsanto and your Snowball mic, because it sounds like you got that thing dialed in pretty good.
Hey, thanks. Yours sounds pretty good, too. What do you have?
Well, since, you know, I'm not dissing you here, but since you had me on hold for so long, I switched from my Yeti Blue mic to my PR40 Heel or Heil or however you pronounce it. So.
Wow. Yeah, it sounds good.
I highly recommend this mic for you because you know what? You would sound great out of a tin can. You know, where me, this is a natural mic. I mean, it's flat. It's not EQ'd or anything. And if you had this mic, I mean, you'd be like, you know, people would be mesmerized just by you talking about it.
Well, I have to look into that one, man.
Yeah, it's expensive, though. It's made in Highland Park, Illinois. It's a local company. But this microphone is nothing short of amazing. So.
Well, all right. So, you said you wanted to talk about Payday also. What's that? What's that about?
You know, I'm going to say this about Mr. Payday Monsanto. I mean, he gave me permission to use his songs with this, you know, copyright stuff.
Right.
And I have to thank you for, you know, turning me on to him. And I downloaded his album because you have to go to his webpage to get his, you know, his material. And I downloaded it twice. So he contacted me and said, hey, is there a problem? You know, why did you download it twice? You already paid for it once. And the whole honesty of it is I'm just too damn lazy to take it off of my computer and throw it onto a USB flash or CD-ROM and then copy it onto my, you know, other media things that I have. And I just download it onto my Google tab. So, you know, I thought that was really very, of him being a gentleman and saying, you know, what are you doing? Why are you paying me twice when you already paid me once, you know, for my material?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Well,
yeah, I was very impressed. Very impressed.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't have even guessed that he would have caught something like that. I don't know much about how that works. I would think that he would just occasionally, you know, once every couple of months or something, check and see what's what. But
no, he's right on top of it. And, you know, I'm like, no, everything's fine. I love his stuff. And the more I listen to it, I'm trying to turn more people on to his stuff and that. And it's really a shame that way more about him than I do. So if I'm misspeaking, correct me. But, you know, I don't know why he doesn't get more notoriety or, you know, more publicity than he does, because he's phenomenally talented, and the message that he's getting out, I think everybody needs to hear.
Well, I think that's the whole point right there. As you say, he is very talented. He's as good as anything that's out there. For my money, any artist, but particularly in the genre that he works in, you know, the guy is great. And then to have a real message with that, you would think that would make it that much more. But I think that's the reason he won't go anywhere is because he's talking about real stuff. You know, as long as you're talking about shaking booties and guns and, you know, drugs and all this kind of stuff, you can get on there.
Yeah, and cop killing and all, you know, all
right,
the stuff you know, that rap was in the past. And, you know, he's actually speaking the truth and what's really going on. And I played, because I spent Christmas in Las Vegas, which was really kind of surreal for me. My son moved out there with his girlfriend, and I'm not bragging because, you know, I went to Proof's house and met him, you know, met his daughters. It's the second time I met him. And we went to his house, and Christmas Day came along, and we rented a penthouse in Mandalay Bay for $280.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, which was crazy. I mean, I'm like, I can't pass that up. Yeah. And you're talking a Midwestern, you know, kid born and raised, and I'm 48 now, but, you know, you spend Christmas with your family and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And
right.
Not all of our families get along. I mean, if they do, that's great. I've never met a family that does.
Right.
And mine included. But my son moved out to Vegas with his girlfriend, so we went out there and spent Christmas with them. And my wife and my son went down and they gambled, and my son's girlfriend and I was teaching her blackjack because she's going to be 21 in March. So I'm teaching her the ins and outs of it, and I said, hey, do you mind if I play this for you? And I played Payday 4, and your intro song, I know he's making an intro song for you, right, because I listened to...
Yeah, that's what he says. I'm waiting
on
it.
Yeah, and that's what I said. I'm like, I can't wait to hear that. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to swipe that intro from you when you get your
there
own.
There you go. Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I like Wake Up or Die. I really do. Yeah. I think that song is great. But I played your intro song for her, and she's like, wow, this song is really, really good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what's good about it, too, is, and we spent some time talking about this, and I want to get your view on this fiscal cliff. I'm going to come back to that. But when I had him on the first few times, we talked about the music. And the power of music. And there's any number of articles that you can get out there, but music, frequencies, vibration, you know, that's like at the essence of your being. So, you know, that's why music is universal. And, you know, different music, people have their different genres, but music mm-hmm. touches people like nothing else. So if you can have a good record or a good melody, good music, and combine that with actually educating people about something, then that's very powerful. And again, you know, you mentioned about why he hasn't gone farther, you know, why he hasn't been more successful, maybe materially or recognized, this kind of thing. And I think that's the very reason, you know, these people don't want that message getting out there. You know, he talks about Dove Zakim and 911, and, you know, I forget the one guy he mentions, the doctor that that treated Timothy McVeigh and like two or three of these other guys that supposedly did some kind of mass shooting or something like that. You know, he brings these connections together and gives people enough to work with to think, well, let me go look at this, and, you know, to get your interest going.
Right.
And then you start to realize that, you know, this stuff, this charade, this matrix, this illusion that they put forth in the media, mass media, it's all theater. And once people start thinking like that, then, you know, we don't fall for the, you know, well, it's the liberals that did this, it's the liberals, it's the communists. These people, they own all of it.
Right. Well, there's two things that transcend race and beliefs and everything else. And one is the truth, and two is music.
Well, somebody just mentioned, Anon just mentioned that one of the seven sciences in Freemasonry is music. I didn't know that.
I didn't either. I'm not a Mason, Freemason, so I couldn't tell
you. Yeah. But it makes sense, you know. I mean, obviously, it's universal, music is. But besides that, the way it communicates to us, the way it reaches us, it's, you know, it's a different form of communication, and it reaches the essence of your spirit. So is it very powerful, obviously. And then
it touches
again,
your soul.
Yeah, to have that and educate you at the same time is very powerful. So let me, I got another call, but let me ask you about the your thoughts on the fiscal cliff.
If you want to bring the other caller on, it's fine with me. I don't know what you're, you know, if you don't like round tables or whatever, but I'm...
Yeah, I don't really go for the round tables. It gets
okay, that's fine. It's your show. Let's go.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
No, but go ahead. What do you think about the fiscal cliff there?
Well... Honestly, I think it's a bunch of smoke and mirrors. It's a bunch of PR crap to get you to divide and conquer so they can decide, you know, blame the other party. Oh, it's a Republican's fault. It's a Democrat's fault. It's whatever. But really what the bottom line, ABC, on this whole thing is to get the debt limit raised.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, black and white, that's it. They got to get that debt limit raised or the government shuts down. Military people, and, you know, you being ex-military, and you know, I don't, like,
yeah.
I don't know if you want to bring that up. But,
I say that. I mention it all the time.
Yeah, you're not going to get paid. And, yeah. You know, people are halfway around the world defending our liberties and, you know, whatever, you know, allegedly, are not going to get, their families aren't going to get paid. Their kids ain't going to get fed. You're not going to get unemployment. You're not going to get Social Security. And it's all a scare tactic to make people, you know, pay attention to what they want to pay attention to, like the Wizard of Oz. But this whole thing is, you saw Geithner came out and, you know, all this warnings and, you know, blah, blah, blah. You better do something. And, you know, Obama's playing golf in, in Hawaii. And I
right.
talked to Proof on Christmas Day about this. And if my business was in jeopardy, in comparative, I'm a fly on the wall.
Right.
It doesn't matter. I'm just a sand in the beach here with my business. But on a macro level, in the leader of the free world,
right.
if financial instability was a priority, my you-know-what wouldn't be playing golf on a golf course, regardless
exactly.
of where it is. I would be trying to resolve this issue to make sure that it was resolved without being redundant. But I would put my private life aside and put it up on top, regardless of what's going on, to make sure that I was doing my job to get this resolved and say, listen, nobody's going anywhere until we come to an agreement. But you know as well as I that they're using it to point fingers and divide and conquer. I mean, what else is new?
Exactly. And when I see that, like Obama playing golf and going on vacation, when, like you said, you know, if the economy is in dire straits and this is, you know, that important and all that kind of stuff, then how could the supposed leader be going off to vacation or going to play golf? So when I see that, my initial thoughts are that obviously he's not running anything, you know. He's
right.
not in control, you know.
Yeah, right.
He'll show up and say what he's told to say or do. You know, he made that comment that, what was it, if they didn't reach an agreement sometime soon, he would urge Harry Reid or one of these people to make some, whatever, have a vote up and down, whatever it is. But it's just the theater of it. And I tell you, myself, I'm not – totally sure on which way this thing is going to go. It's as simple as this. The first thing is, like you said, it's just about, hey, you know, everything's going to come to a big halt if we don't do this, so we need to raise the debt limit. We need to extend the debt ceiling and just keep on increasing the debt. And the point of that, the purpose of that, would be to further bankrupt this country and get us to a point that there's just no way we can get out of it. Then we're totally owned. And I know a lot of people think we're there now. I don't know if we are, but, you know, the further they get us into debt, the more they ensure that, you know, that they own America. The other part of it, though, is that there is going to be a time of, what's that, the reckoning, where we're going to have to pay the piper. And just as I don't know if we're at the time already where we can't pay it back, I don't know if they've decided that now's the time. I mean, it could be that they say, okay, you know, we got enough in place. We got the different laws. We've bought all this ammunition. You know, we've got people in the right positions and the country in the right state that we can go ahead and do this thing. So they just let it happen. And they do all these cuts and then things start to kind of spiral, you know, slowly out of control. So it could go either way, but I'm thinking like you that more than likely, they're going to reach it and, hey, we found something. And from what I understand, I think it's only an extension to like another few months. It's not like for the whole year.
Right. Well, look how long it took to last time they raised the debt ceiling, and look how long it took to reach it again. And
right,
the
right.
magic number I keep hearing is 20 trillion. And if we hit 20 trillion, that's like, and I talked to Poof about this on Christmas too, you know, that's like you or me or anybody that's listening, that you keep getting your credit card debt limit raised
because
you're having issues to 100 grand. Can you pay 100 grand off?
Right, right.
And
no,
I can't.
I can't. You know,
I can't.
And then
no.
you think about the interest that's on there. It's just it ain't gonna happen, you know.
Right.
But as that article that I was reading pointed out, you know, the real answer is this. What's it called? Debt forgiveness. And I had one article, George Will, where he brought it up and said that it was a legitimate discussion to have. And that's the only time that I heard it mentioned in, you know, kind of the official mass media types talking about it. But it's not as far-fetched or crazy as it might sound. And when you think about all of this, what we're supposedly fighting for the free world and all this kind of stuff, you know, we could get away with that. Look, you know, we did all of this to save the world, so we ain't paying this back. None of that's going to happen because the bankers own it all. But as for us, the people, that's what we need to be pushing, regardless of if they do it or not. That needs to be our stand. But this stuff about, you know, well, it's the liberals are giving free stuff to the moochers. And the rich are just stealing everything. And, you know, this is more of this left-right crap and we're just being played against each other. Hey, I'm going to let you make a last comment, then I'm going to go ahead and run to a commercial here. It looks like the one guy dropped off. But I need to go ahead and take a break. You want to make a last comment there?
Well, I'm gonna ask a favor of you.
Yes, sir.
Let me hang on with the next caller. If you don't, that's fine. I respect that. But I'm going to say this. There's a book that I read because I was at the airport, McCarran Airport, leaving Las Vegas. And it's a book titled Throw Them All Out. And it's about our elected officials in wonderful Washington, D.C. And I'm going to tell you something, ABC. You read that book or anybody reads that book, and you're going to want to either jump out of the plane, throw the book out of the plane, or tear the book up. I mean, that book is just, if you really want to know what's going on in Washington, D.C., read that book.
What was the name of the book again?
Throw Them All Out.
Throw Them All Out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I might have to look at that one. Hey, what I'm going to do then is... I'm going to mute you. Like I said, I don't do the roundtable thing. I can't deal with it, man. You know, I want to jump in. I'm waiting for somebody else to jump in. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to mute you right now, and I'm going to come back to you.
Go ahead.
No, it's all good. I just don't do it. I just don't do like that. That's
no,
not the way I run my
life. Yeah, there's too many people talking. I promise I won't interrupt. I'll listen.
It's all good, man. But I'm going to just put you on mute right now. I'm going to go play some commercials. I'm going to come back, and we'll see if the caller's still there. If he's not, I want to jump to this other article talking about this clip. But I'll come back to you. All right, so everybody, hold on a bit here. Let me play a few commercials. We'll come back. And, again, you know, talking about this fiscal clip, and like I said, there's the fiscal cliff, and then there's the physical cliff. And I want to spend a little time, too, talking about, you know, this. When I talk about the physical cliff, I'm talking about it figuratively. You know, what does it mean if we supposedly, you know, there's no agreement and all these things go into effect? What's the physical manifestation of that? You know, they're going to slash all these benefits. Medicare, Social Security, welfare. They're going to cut the military. Are these people are going to be out of jobs? What are those people going to do when they're out of jobs? What are these people going to do when they don't get welfare, don't get Social Security? How is this going to manifest itself? What's it going to do in your neighborhood, in our cities? You know, how is it going to, what's going to be the outcome? That's the, again, my, figuratively speaking, that physical cliff that I'm talking about. But a few commercials, take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Hello, everyone. Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now, as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea. Hello again, Freedomist. Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here, there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping, so go to freedomizerradio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on freedomizerradio.com.
In today's economy, the ability to access data quickly can mean the difference between success and failure. Maximum Archive's MyDrive service lets you have access to your data from just about any device and pretty much anywhere. MyDrive makes sure that when it counts, you can get what you need, because failure's not an option. Sign up for MyDrive today at MaximumArchive.com. Use partner code Freedomizer at checkout and help fund the Freedomizer Radio Network. That's MaximumArchive.com.
The desire to enslave our fellow man is unfortunately intrinsic to the human character. It has been with us since the beginning of time on every continent and in virtually every culture, from ancient Egypt to Babylon to Greece and Rome, Africa, Asia, Europe, and the United States. It's a disease of our human nature, yet people are under the impression that it no longer exists.
As long as you behave like a slave, you'll remain in the jacket to keep you straight and grip you up in court like a racket. Represented, ain't it fantastic? Your attorney and your judge study the same magic. You are an infant, a person that's unsound. They give you life vests, take it off and you will drown. At least that's what they try to teach you. They give you A and B, I don't subscribe to either. You should see Stone Cold through their fallacy when they try to control the debate with a duality. Pick one and you think you got a choice. You've essentially squandered your motherfucking voice. I talk to the masses to see what I find, and eventually I gathered 500,000 like minds. Fuck 1,000,000 men, there's 100 more times than what you thought. That consensus was created by crime. Your First Amendment is deader than a doornail. Speaking your mind will get you fined or war jail. We're building bombs that you wouldn't believe. You want the right to bear arms, roll up your sleeves. Your First Amendment is deader than a doornail. Speaking your mind will get you fined or war jail. We're building bombs that you wouldn't believe. You want the right to bear arms, roll up your sleeves. As long as you behave like a slave, you'll remain in amazement. Lost in a labyrinth of your enslavement. Wandering in a CIA-approved arrangement. Listening to a blabbermouth for entertainment. The true fame, what it's cracked up to be. Patriots are manufactured in a factory. Most so-called hate groups they've all been to. ADL, Southern Poverty Law Center. You might hear my words ungodly and jest, but you don't know about the wicked Dr. Jolly and West, who looked after Tim McVeigh right up until his death. Sirhan, Sirhan, Jack Ruby, and probably Koresh. Some say Oswald was just one lone nut. Others will say the CIA murdered JFK, so what? The human animal makes me want to channel Lord Milner and execute everybody who's off kilter.
All that's out of order,
that's what they're saying,
is soon to be brought down.
And they ain't playing
fluoride in your water,
that's what I'm saying.
That's all that I am, and I am not capable of bowing to a man, and I am not capable of granting jurisdiction, especially
considering the fact that you're a fiction. Especially considering the fact you ain't real. And I'm flesh and I'm blood and I breathe and I feel. And I'm here and I'm now, I exist in this time. And the only place that you exist is the mind. And the only evidence of your existence is paper. I'm 80% water, you ain't even made of vapor. You ain't nothing but a figment of the imagination. For men and women whose opinions held as legislation. But how does that opinion then create an obligation upon an autonomous sovereign without a nation? I'm saying, as a king I stand above your law. And it doesn't even matter whether or not I cross your bar.
The First Amendment is deader than the doornail. Speaking your mind could get you fined or more jail. We're building bombs that you wouldn't believe. You want the right to bear arms? Roll up your sleeves. Your First Amendment is deader than the doornail. Speaking your mind could get you fined or more jail. We're building bombs that you wouldn't believe. You want the right to bear arms? Your beloved America's a British colony de jure. The king funded both sides of the Revolutionary War. The people does not include you. You're a whore. You can verify that in Barron vs. Baltimore. Look on your deed and you'll see the word tenant. Slaves cannot own property, just rent it. Social Security's in place to enslave us. The trust fund, they blew it. Stewart vs. Dazes. It's all psyched out in black and white. Decided very long ago how you'd react and fight. Contingency plans were drawn up exact, precise. On how to distract your nice from the facts of life. They polarize the people to attack and fight. Within groups searching for truth and hijack the plight. I knew a few patriots who lacked the price. One of them's drunk in a lounge singing Mack the Knife. The other two have disappeared, unheard of. Some say suicide, others say murder. Watch out for patriots on the radio. Many know the truth, but they simply won't say it though. I ain't looking for beef, cause most of you're friendly. But Alex Jones seen juices as kosher as any. Another money bomb, how much can you lend me? What can I get with 3 quadrillion pennies? Your First Amendment is deader than a doornail. Speaking your mind will get you fined or more jail. We're building bombs that you wouldn't believe. You want the right to bear arms, roll up your sleeves. Your First Amendment is deader than the doornail. Speaking your mind, I get you fined or more jail. We're building bombs that you wouldn't believe. You want the right to bear arms, roll up your sleeves.
The Jewish people seem to run 90% of all the media and all of the Hollywood movies.
All right, thanks for the call.
By the way, Larry didn't say he hated the Jews.
Question, why are you still breathing? I mean, why haven't you really just taken a toaster oven and thrown it in the bathtub with yourself and had a party? Because that's what you need to do.
I mean, Kate Foxman of the Jewish ADL admits that the 8 largest movie studios are run by Jews. Joel Stein, also Jewish. Joel Stein says, of course the Jews run Hollywood and the movies and the media. And Jason, please, don't call yourself the info warrior if you don't even know those basic facts. Ben Stein, he was asked by reporters, the Jews own Hollywood. And he looked at the reporter like he was nuts. He said, well, of course the Jews run and own Hollywood. So what? According to Jason Vermes,
you even dare to say that the Jews run Hollywood.
The man come and take you away.
Okay, we're back. And I do have the other caller back, Det Shepherd. I'm coming to you right now. Okay, I got your mic open.
Hey, how you doing? Greg calling from Nashville.
Hey, how you doing there, Greg?
I'm good. I like the play on words, fiscal, F-I-S-C-A-L versus physical. Money happens to be my specialty. That's what I teach. And etymology.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah, etymology and anagrams and wordplay and similarity of pronunciation is it's beautiful. Your the way you described your show. That's where these people hide. That's what the matrix is. It's the brick and mortar. It's the language, and of course, as you know, the law, the wording. Anyway, I just wanted to share a real easy one with you guys. The word government comes from Latin. Gubernare means to govern or manage, and mente means mind. So government means management of the mind. So listening to the lyrics of the song, there was a lot of truth in there on the break. And a couple of the things that he said was everything that – and I'm paraphrasing. I'm not putting words in his mouth.
Right.
Everything that you think is your safe haven, your constitution, your Bill of Rights, and all this were constructed by your oppressors. We're nothing but a colony of Britain, people. And everything that you've been sold – and this includes me. I'm American. I was born here. These people just cloak themselves in the American flag and they want to sing kumbaya and feel patriotic. It's all a construct, all of it.
Wow. You know, I got to tell you, man, first off, thanks for calling in. It's the first time I talked to you, but you're very good at presenting your viewpoint. And somebody mentioned in the chat room that I guess your mic sounds great. Whatever you got for a mic, it does.
Thank you.
But
I do a lot of radio.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. So you said you teach this. So you're a teacher in high school, college, or?
No. I've been in the mortgage business since 2000, but coincidentally, that's about the time that I really started to study how money works. And you made a really good point at the beginning of the show. It doesn't matter if it all started in 1913, which it did, you know, the current form.
Yeah.
And most people just need that quick little brush of history because most people are just fascinated by that. Wow, are you kidding me? It's really not part of the government. And I really kind of tire of teaching that piece, but it's just necessary. You know, you have to broach the subject. But then the real meat and potatoes is really what you're driving at. You're doing a great job of it, by the way. And I'm not just saying that because you opened the mic. It doesn't matter. Does it matter where the cockroach came from? Does it matter where the monster came from? We need to deal with the monster right now. We don't need to study the monster anymore. We don't need to verify with ourselves that the monster exists. The monster is staring us in the face. It's snarling and it's baring its fangs. And we're busy watching TV.
Well, let me tell you, you know, here's my frustration with it, because I totally understand that 1913 was just, you know, and what was it? Income tax happened shortly after that, or how was it? The Federal Reserve was created then, the income tax shortly after that, or something like that. But all of this was going on around the top. I think that most everybody here is aware that the whole Federal Reserve, that's a very strong pillar, maybe the biggest pillar,
yeah,
in the tyranny and this kind of thing.
Yeah.
My frustration is that, you know, if we talk about 100 years ago, it's like talking about slavery. You know, I'm a black guy, and I can go on, I can do a whole show for 3 hours talking about how insidious, maybe is the word, how we don't begin to think about how this has impacted the black people here, well, black people, period, in the country, but how this has impacted us and why, you know, this has created this kind of psychological damage to us where we can't be in a better spot than we are today, along with racism and all that stuff. I mean, I can spend all this time on that, but it doesn't help. Soon as you start talking about slavery, the eyes glaze over and roll in the back of the head and all this stuff. You know, people want to hear about something that's closer to now, even if we're talking about the problems, you know, that exist. If it's something that happened in this decade or the past couple of decades or something, then it's a little more relevant. It's something that we saw and witnessed and all this stuff, so we can, you know, people feel more a part of it. This thing with this, with the tyranny and the police state and the surveillance and all this kind of stuff. We watched this right in front of our eyes after 9/11, where they told us everybody's got to be safe, and we heard the mantra over and over and over and over again, government's number one job is to protect the people. You know,
no,
everybody
not.
Was saying that. And we went on and on and on. And then the Patriot Act and warrantless
the
government's number one job is to protect the people.
Yeah.
You know, Bush kept us safe. It didn't happen again. You know, this kind of thing. So by the time Obama came in here, it was all set up. All he had to do was keep doing the same thing, and that's what he did. But he added to it. And he added some executive orders. Yeah. And he added this NDAA. And he expanded the war on terror. And he expanded the TSA. He took everything that Bush had. You know, Bush built a house, a frame of a house. Obama came in and started putting up curtains and painting the doors and, you know, getting furniture and all this kind of stuff.
Let me throw you a curveball, ABC, and this is, I've come into this very recently in my life. You know, I'm not the smartest guy when it comes to this. I've only been studying it for 12 years. There's so many great teachers. We could name a lot of them that have just paved the way for us, that have handed us a lifetime of knowledge and research, where you literally used to have to go into the courthouses and dig out all this information, and now we have it available to us. This is where I'm at today. Most of the people in this country are still heavily intoxicated by a very powerful illusion. And that illusion is that if someone who I elected writes something on a piece of paper, then I'm free. And this is a very strong construct that has been built, and it is killing us at every level, spiritually, psychologically, as a people, as a nation, as a race, as a country, as a global community, all of us. we need to get beyond someone who I say can say yes for me, write something on a piece of paper, and then once they make that decision, then I get to be free. We have to move past that.
Wow, that's pretty heavy. You know,
it is heavy. It's extremely heavy. You already said it. Look around us. We're continuing to argue like we did 50 to 100 years ago to 200 years ago about all of this penny ante BS about we're going to wait until they pass another law. You know what a law is? This will kill you. You're talking about money. It starts out as a bill. What do we call money? We call them bills, don't we?
Yeah.
they're controlling on both sides, the money and the law. These are the mechanisms of power. And I haven't really heard, and I'm not saying it's new because I know it's not new. There are people who know this. I just haven't really run into them or read their writings yet. But this is what's coming into my awareness. We have to get away from this. We need to pass another law.
Right.
Do you know how many lawyers we graduate in this country every year? It's about there's one attorney for about every 350 to 400 people in this country.
Well, you know, when you mentioned that, it made me think. One of the things I've said for a while is, and you hear it right now, you still hear it some, but we're told, you know, the Republicans and the Democrat in Congress, they can't get together. There's no compromise. They're not doing anything. It's a do nothing Congress. You know, they're not passing any laws. You'd hear this about people during the presidential election. Ron Paul, how many bills did he get passed? You know, how many did he initiate that got passed or something? You know, none or one or two or something like that. He didn't get enough done. You know, we have been tricked into this idea that these guys need to be up there making all this legislation, you know, 24/7. They're up there for whatever, let's say it's 150 days out of the year. They need to be up there making laws, passing bills, creating this and that. I mean, that goes on indefinitely. That's like the whole thing with the home mortgage business, when everybody's house was increasing in value, you know, 5 to 10% every year. That can't go on indefinitely, and it didn't. You know, it collapsed.
That's the same
with these laws. You know, these guys are going to go up there every year, and we demand that they create some more laws and put out some more bills and all this kind of stuff. It's ridiculous, but we have been conditioned to think that way, and you know, it's almost like we demand it. You know, hey, they're not getting anything done. They're not doing their job.
And what they've done is this. They've convinced us, they being the controllers. They don't have the power, by the way. There's a huge difference between power and control. Huge difference. The people have the power. These people just happen to be in control. If I have a 400-pound boar in an iron cage, I have control of that animal. But if he gets out, he has way more power than I do. So you understand the analogy.
Right.
You understand that. And most people can't even get past that. But what they've done is they have convinced us that they tell us what our freedoms are, and they tell us what we can do by writing it on a piece of paper. Now, keep in mind that if one group of people who are currently elected agree that this is what your freedom is, and they put it on a piece of paper and they file it somewhere, and then everyone in the country agrees that that's now my freedom, the next group of people that get elected can turn around and change that. So what they've done is they've trained you to know that your freedom fluctuates. It varies based on who's in office.
Well,
and that's not freedom.
But something that I talk about is, and I don't know if you've heard my show before, but periodically I spend some time talking about the occult and the occult and Freemasonry and these beliefs that these people have. But there's one kind of general idea that these guys have is that we are human beings, or, you know, we're like robots. I mean, yeah, we had they recognize and understand we have a spirit inside of us, but they understand too that if they can play up our base animal instincts, our spirit is diminished and we'll respond like a robot to stimulus.
Yes.
So, you know, it's like a computer. You know, if you type in a certain program, it'll react a certain way, but it can do that with us.
Yeah.
So when you have a 911, the people react. And you know how they're going to react because, you know, you create the stimulus. When you have a Newtown, Connecticut, the people react. And you know how they're going to react. Again, you created the stimulus. So this is what happens. And they guide us and direct us in certain ways with these different incidents. The way I look at it is, you know, to try to get together a multitude of people and have us singing off the same sheet of music, you know, it's like herding cats. It's extremely difficult.
Yeah.
At the least, we need to get something, a rallying cry that we can get. And we all understand that we're losing our freedoms. So, you know, how can we combat this together in one full voice? And my thing is we need to say, stop this war on terror. We don't believe in it. It's killing our freedoms. It's a fraud. It's a lie. Stop the war on terror. And if all of us are sticking with that, then when they come at us, another terrorist did this, you know, we'd be like, get the hell out of here. BS, you know, this kind of thing. But let me do this. There's somebody that's just dying to get in here, a red pill. He wants to address you. And then I got these other callers that showed up. So I'm going to bring up Red.
I'll jump
let
off.
Him, well, I want you to hold on for a second because he wants to address something that you were saying specifically.
Oh, okay.
I'll bring him up and let him talk with you for a minute, and then I'm going to let both of you guys go and go on to the next caller, Red. Red wants to join me in here, but let me open up and let him get in. Hey, I got your mic open, Red.
Thanks, ABC.
Yeah, man.
Thanks, caller, for calling in. It's unbelievable. You're a teacher, you said?
When I say teacher, I don't mean that professionally. That's just what I do. I share information with people. And that's my part-time job. My day job is working for the machine known as the banking system. But I'm kind of one of those, you know, in the know, but in the belly of the beast kind of people.
Okay. Because the first question I wanted to ask is, what microphone are you using?
I'm using a, let's see here. I'm using an Electro Voice 320.
And what's that?
I've drooled over the Heil PR40, by the way. I took some pretty long consideration on picking one of those up. They're about $350 a piece. And that'll probably be my next mic. I like that mic a lot.
Right. I'm looking at the channel. Sam, that was a joke. So I thought this gentleman was a teacher at a university because the call-in and say that I'm a teacher, you know, number one, you got a lot of balls, and I'm going to give you credit right there. But my question was going to ask you is that, because I was dying to get in, is what do you tell people that are young and telling them how to guide them through, you know, this uncharted territory with the fiscal cliff and, you know, the Federal Reserve and everything else that's going on? What are you actually telling them, which is the truth compared to the brainwashing and the matrix, like you use an analogy to? Because I like your definition of government. I never heard that before. To get through all this stuff.
Well, the main thing is I know, and I had to go through this myself. I got stuck in the conspiracy rut for a while, and I had to get out because there's no light at the end of that tunnel. And they construct that matrix purposely, by the way. There are many who stay in the conspiracy rut, and they don't ever move into solution. They simply stay in problem. And I've done that before. But to answer your question for young people, I start with the basics, and the basics are, you know, okay, first they need to understand that there is a problem, and I can share as much history as I know with them, and most of them, like ABC said, they're really not interested. So you try to make it relevant to what's going on with them and say, you know, this is what it's going to look like if we don't change. But what I try to really deal with is solution, and the solution, and ABC said it, this whole thing about the occult situation and the Freemasons, that is a huge part of what is going on, and most people don't want to talk about or believe that because they think it's all Hollywood. And it's incredibly ironic because that's who's running Hollywood is a bunch of cult freaks. But I start with the basics. Stop watching television. Clean up your diet. Don't get addicted to technology. Learn to read. Stay away from the cloud. Anywhere they can control digital media, especially books, get away from it. Because they're just tightening this noose more and more and more every generation. And what they're going to do, we don't stop this, is we're going to become an extinct species. Critically thinking people will become an extinct species.
Those are great points.
Absolutely. And these people are patient. And I'm not the smartest guy in the world about these people. I haven't studied them my entire life. Some people have. But you know in your gut when something isn't right. You don't need someone in power to tell you when something isn't right. And they do everything in their power to keep our focus outside of the inside of us. Because regardless of what your belief is in God or anything else, the bottom line is when the shit hits the fan, you have to be able to reach inside of yourself and solve the immediate problem. No amount of praying is going to take care of that immediate moment when you need to make a decision to perpetuate the survival of your 3D flesh.
Wow, great points. You got anything, Red?
No, that's it. I thought he was a teacher at a university in the way he was talking. I'm like, I've never heard a teacher talk like this before.
No.
You know, so that's why I was trying to get in here. But regardless of you are, if you're a teacher or not, you know, how can I ask how old you are?
Yeah, I'm 43.
I'm 43. I'm 48. And I think ABC's around there, right?
Yeah. I'm in that I'm in that area.
In that zone. In that zone.
Well, you know, I'm going to say this and I'm going to go. ABC, thanks a lot. I mean, really, I appreciate it. You know, I see the comments in the chat room. And, you know, the microphone stuff, I'm going to tell you something. The microphone's everything unless you're talented like Mr. ABC. And like I said, you can talk in your shoe and you can sound great. But if you're going to do this and get the word out, like calling in or doing your own podcast or getting on Freedomizer Radio and helping Proof out, you know, the mic is what it's all about on top of bandwidth. But the point is this, and then I'll go, I promise. But we need people that are in their teens, their 20s, their 30s, their 40s, their 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, this fiscal cliff thing. It is all a joke. It's all about raising the debt limit. And I'll say this, too. Has anybody ever considered the thought about, you know, affordable health care is all about being able to pay Social Security? I mean, think about it. They can't pay Social Security because there's more baby boomers, 10,000 a day, that are retiring. And they're going to want their benefits because that's their benefits. This is an entitlement. This is their money. That money's gone.
Yep.
So how are you going to pay people that have worked all their life, they're supposed to get their Social Security, and the money's gone? Hey, let's create another income stream. Let's create affordable health care.
No, I got it.
But we need people to talk. Nonviolent, you know, this whole gun control thing and all that. You know, the Second Amendment, they are slowly eroding their rights. And I'll leave that up to you, ABC, because you do that better than anybody else. But they are going after our rights. The Fourth Amendment, the First Amendment, we still have within reason. But now they're going after our Second Amendment. And you don't need a semi-automatic rifle to hunt. You need a semi-automatic weapon to defend yourself from an out-of-control government. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm not even going to touch any more of that.
All right, man. Hey, look, thanks for the call, buddy. Okay, and Deb Shepard, you want to make a last comment there?
Honestly,
Deb Shepard, Greg.
He asked. It's okay. He asked the most important question: how do we get young people, you know, to start thinking the way they need to be thinking? And there's only one way to do that. We have got to stop sending our kids to state-sponsored schools, and we've got to stop sending our young 18s and 19s and through 20s to these university cities of higher learning. This is called the Ivory Tower, and these systems were set up specifically to handpick people out of the population and to elevate them up these lower rungs of supposed power. We've got to stop sending our people to state-sponsored education and start educating them ourselves. Because it's just like the tobacco companies. They say they don't advertise to kids, but they have to, because their current crop of smokers are naturally dying every year, and they have to recruit more people. So you have to start at the beginning of the equation. What we're doing is we're so busy playing defense, and you look at every right you have in this piece of paper known as the Bill of Rights, and you spend a lifetime defending one of those, and they're just burning all the rest of them in front of you. That's not the way to do this. We're dealing with effect. We have to deal with cause.
Excellent point. You know, I'm going to talk a little bit about that coming up, but Let me tell you, man, I hope you'll check out the show. I'm on every Friday at this time. I hope you'll check out Freedomizer. And, you know, maybe you have, but I really enjoyed you calling in and calling anytime. But I'm on every Friday at this time. And, you know, it's always good to hear somebody that's number one, able to communicate their viewpoint. I think, honestly, I think you do it better than I do. But then also that, you know, you have an intelligent perspective. We won't all agree on everything. I agree with everything that you're talking about. But, you know, all of us, we're not a monolith and we won't always agree on everything. But if somebody can come across communicating their viewpoint and it's intelligent, then that is excellent. You know,
yeah, and so, I do appreciate the open mic. I just clicked follow on your show, and you know, the thing of it is most people have been beat down, regardless of color, regardless of religion. They've been beat down.
Right, right.
They don't, number one, they don't even understand their power. They don't even know what's locked up inside of them, and that on top of the fact that they don't really think that their voice is important. But we have to get away from this. The government tells me what my freedom is. That's the matrix, and we have to pull this thing apart brick by brick, or we're not going to make it.
Right on, man.
Thank you for the open mic.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
Thank you.
All right. Man, what a great call. All right, now I got two other callers. I should go to a break, but I got to go to callers. They've been waiting. First up, my buddy Senior, I believe.
Hey, brother. How's it going?
Hey, what's happening, man?
Oh, not too much, man. How was your holiday?
Oh, it was good. You know, nothing so spectacular, but it was nice spending time with the family.
Oh, okay. You were just kind of kissing them to Obama. I thought maybe you got like an Obama phone or something for Christmas. And like, what's going on here? Pro-Obama overnight? You know? Wait a minute. Oh, by the way, I'm on the Motorola Android speaker microphone, just to let you know. You know, I can't afford that other stuff, man, you know. But hey, man, you know what? This physical cliff thing, dude, look. You know, the government, these politicians, don't care how it goes, because the bottom line is it doesn't affect them and their circle. It only affects us, we the people. So people have to understand that, first of all. It doesn't affect them, only us. That's why they go on vacation, and that's why they do what they do, and they play that game, and they plant the seed, and everybody goes crazy, the media and shows and, you know, chat rooms, and everyone goes wild with all this. And they're out there playing golf and having a good time on the islands and getting, you know, who knows what the hell they're doing.
Yeah,
and we're out
there
freaking out. You know what, dude? They're going to do what they want to do. You know, folks, they're going to do what they want to do. It's not to say I don't care, I do care, but whatever they do doesn't affect them, only us. And that you have to understand from the beginning. You understand that. Once you understand that, you'll be going all crazed out. Everything they do affects us only. It doesn't. They get increases. They get this. They don't go through the airport in TSA and get raped, and they got their private jets.
Yeah.
You know, and they got their own bodyguards. They don't have to worry about guns because they're protected 24/7 with bodyguards who have guns. Most of them probably have concealed weapon permits. And speaking of weapons, let's face it, brother, America is the largest, you know, arms industry, you know, manufacturing industry in the world. That's how they make their money. And the fact that they just made a whole lot of money because everybody ran out and bought guns because they might do something with, you know, gun control and the Second Amendment, they made a whole lot of money on that deal.
Right.
And people
right.
say, well, they can't just make money on just guns. No, you see, when it comes to guns, whether it's a handgun, whether it's a assault rifle, whatever you want to call a shotgun, when people buy the weapons, whether they registered them or not, they will go out and get training classes for them. That costs money. You have to keep up the upkeep of your gun, whatever it be, a handgun, whatever, rifle. That costs money. Your ammo costs money. Okay, the training to use that costs money. I mean,
right.
It just leads into more and more and more, whether you buy books, whether you go on the internet, whether you take private lessons, whether you go to the gun range, that costs money. So you add all that up besides the price of what you just paid for an assault rifle, which is probably a whole lot of money. Think about it.
Let me ask you something, because you touched on a couple of things, and I've had this discussion with people, and it kind of shows you how we are, again, you know, like those sheepdogs that steer the cattle or whatever towards the pens or steer. We're guided and directed into certain areas, and I think we don't really catch it, but you mentioned, well, with the gun thing. You know, the shooting happens. You got the left coming out and talking about, you know, we need gun control and all this stuff. Then you got the right coming out and talking about we need to give all the teachers guns, and, you know, all the teachers in the schools need to have guns, and we need to have armed guards in your elementary school kids, you know, all this kind of stuff. And again, I see it as one of those things where it's like problem, reaction, solution type of thing. You know, they're letting the reaction happen, and, you know, they'll come down with some medium or something like, okay, we won't take all the guns, we'll just take half the guns for now, you know, this kind of thing or something, until the next thing happens. But we continuously fall into this trap of, you know, these program reactions. And the other thing that you talked about too, what was it, the first thing? The elites. When you talked about the elites, how these guys are, it ain't going to affect them and all this kind of stuff. I try to talk about the economy and the economic situation where, you know, we were fed, and I never went for this crap, but this whole trickle-down theory. This is back in the 80s with Reagan. I mean, it's been 30 years. But we were fed this line of trickle-down economics, which Daddy Bush called voodoo economics at the time when he was running against Reagan.
Right.
But, you know, we were fed that line, and, you know, the wealth producers, you know, give them a good situation, and they will take that money and reinvest in their business and hire more people, and everybody gets jobs and all this kind of stuff, all that kind of crap, which never happens. Everybody took that money and pocketed it and put it over and, you know, bought a bunch of stuff and put it away in foreign banks and stuff. So if you talk about how the wealthy have benefited over this past 30 years, you know, globalization, and now they send the factories overseas and get slave wages and all this kind of stuff, and driving the wages down here, letting the illegal immigration come in. If you talk about this division of the haves and the have-nots, then people, you know, they don't want to go there either. It's like, you know, you're either promoting this class warfare, or you're a liberal that's, that wants everything for free. So, again, you know, you're locked into these positions. This is what they do. They define the narrative, and then you spend all your time trying to break out of that box, you know.
Yeah.
But I think we can't be afraid to talk about, look, these devils have stole all the money. Like you just said, they live in large. They ain't hurting. And they ain't going to be hurt when the crash happens. You know, we need to look at what's been happening with this stuff and how we on the hook for this thing, you know.
Exactly.
We need to be able to talk about that without people talking about it being class warfare or, you know, the moochers trying to get stuff for free.
Oh, yeah. I mean, your other caller said it, you know, people need to get away from the TVs. And I've always said that many a times. Nothing's going to be done, you folk, until we, the people, unite as one.
Right.
And realize that these devils are doing what they're doing, and they're going to continue doing what they're doing as long as you're busy with your phones and texting and your iPods and iPads and your computers and your big screen TVs and your Starbucks. And, I mean, come on, you're not paying attention. You're really not. And more they know that, the more and more they just keep enjoying it. They keep just slapping us around every time. But for the ones that are paying attention, you know what? We just got to protect ourselves. We got to stick together. And it's not just like I'm not trying to say let's create an army and go after anybody. No. Basically, we have to let these people know that we're not going to be taking any of this crap anymore. We're going to stand up and say, wait a minute, no. You can't. We put you in office. We put you there to basically, you know, you're basically what they're looking to support the people, or you're working for the people, basically.
Right.
you know, not for yourselves. You're working for us.
Right, right. That's what it's supposed to be.
That's the way it should have been that for a long time.
Yeah.
It changed. Somewhere down the road, it changed. No one didn't pick up on it. And now we're at it this time. We're kind of in, you know, in not in a good place.
Right, right.
So people have to decide, what are they going to do? Just keep sitting on their ass and not say nothing? And you've got to remember, there's a lot of fear going on. But the big problem that people fear in this world, they fear man and what man's going to do. We're going to come get your family. We're going to throw you in prison without any kind of, you know, court system. And we're going to lock you up and you're never see each other again. And the helicopter's going to fly over. We're going to break into your house in the middle of the night. I mean, on and on and on and on. Fear, fear, fear. And there's a lot of people out there who really are afraid. They're willing to give up their guns, not realizing that these guys are going to come knocking on their door, the criminal element. Who's going to protect them? The police? You're lying to the police to protect us. That's why the people have guns, to protect themselves. So you see, people are not thinking, oh, guns kill, guns. You know, they all get stuck on this other stuff. Guns kill, this and that. I mean, it's just, you know, they plant the seed. Remember, people, they plant the seed. Don't take that seed and start watering it and start letting it grow, and you're out there eating all that fruit. Remember
right.
Adam and Eve?
Right.
When Eve came out on the bad apple? I mean, you know, in other words, you really got to wake up to what's going on,
right,
you know,
right.
Folks. You really, really do. Start talking about it. Start communicating with one another. And for those that don't want to listen, that's not a problem. Go on to the next person that does want to listen. And it's just a matter of just letting them know that, you know, we're aware of your bullshit. We know what you're doing, and we're not going to go for that crap. And until that time, you're going to keep doing the same bullshit over and over. You know, right now you have a lot of people talking about it, which is good. And they're
right.
aware that we are. That end of the world bullshit didn't work thing. That didn't work. You know,
right,
they tried
right,
the end of the
right.
world thing. That didn't work. And I told you it wasn't going to work. No, I'm waiting for the next big thing for them to come up with. This physical cliff thing, that's kind of like whatever. You know what I mean? No, they're going to come up with something else. They're right now on vacation, not to go on vacation. They're planning the next big end of the world event. What are we going to do next? Let's see here. And wait, don't worry. It'll come. And when it does, again, they'll plant the seed. And everybody will water in and eat the fruit and just be poisoned by all the bullshit they're putting out there. And that's
right.
what people need to stop doing. Quit believing all this crap they keep pulling out there. Say, so you know what? That's bullshit. Quit advertising it. Quit talking about it. Say, nah. Let's talk about this. Getting this country straight. Getting us back on our feet. That's what we need to talk about. Forget all this other bullshit they're trying to give us.
Right
Think
on,
about
man.
It, folks. Think about right. it. And until that time, man, you know what? Like I said before, folks, final words going to come. Who else? God the Father Almighty. When that day comes, I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to be in that path, and I'm not going to be anywhere near these knuckleheads who are doing what they're doing. And if they think they're going to stand up to the King of Kings, good luck. what a bunch of fools. That's all I got to say. And here, brother. Hey, man, Happy New Year to everybody. God bless, and thank you for accepting my call.
Yeah, buddy. Hey, thanks a lot for the call, buddy.
All right, you take care.
All right. That's a buddy Singer. Always a good call. He made a comment there. I was going to piggyback off of that, but I forget. I got this caller, and then after this caller, I got to go to a break. I keep trying to get back to this fiscal cliff, and I'm dropping those links there in the chat because I just want to try to expand on that a little bit. And the point, I think I said it already, but, you know, I want to talk about how this thing is unfolding and how you can see that this is the agenda unfolding. And ultimately, you know, what I want to spend much of my time talking about is, and we talked about this some with some of the other callers, was it's a matter of seeing this, I guess for the lack of a better term, at the big picture. And why is this important? It's important so that you stop giving power to these devils to do this stuff, you know, to create a super Congress. You know, you stop giving them power to throw a bunch of money at these wars. you know, you stop giving them power to empower this TSA even more. You know, if you stand firm that we're against this war on terror, we don't believe in this. This is against our ideals. This is taking away our freedoms. If you stand strong in that and strong and resolute and don't get shaken by a shooting that happens over here or somebody set off a bomb over there, you get spooked and you forget what you were standing for. And that's when they slide in with this next new thing, this next law. But let me shut up and come to the last caller I got here. All right, caller, I got you on. I guess it's a Skype caller.
Yes. Hi, ABC.
Hey, what's going on, B?
Hi. I was just sitting here. I was reading this article. I mean, I was listening to the speaker. The one caller that called in, especially about the bills and them being in writing.
Right.
And I thought to myself, how that they made all these promises in writing to the natives, and look where they're at on reservations. I mean, you know, I don't know. It's just like people don't seem to connect. But I will say that dealing with young people, that the caller, I wish, you know, if he's still listening, would call back and address the issues of how they use fluoride to they use it on soldiers to bring you under subjection to control all these chemicals. I mean, I went to a botanical garden and asked this gentleman who was there, was spraying chemtrails all over the place in the D.C. area a few days ago, within the last week, just all crisscrossing everywhere. And I asked him, I said, can you tell me what that is? And he said, it was so obvious. And he said, oh, yeah, those are just contrails, you know, it's just from a jet. And I'm saying, well, it seems, you know, from a jet, why would these trails just get wider and wider and wider? The ones that come from the jet or planes, they just sort of dissipate. And he said, and he was, you know, older gentleman, you know, I guess in his 50s or 60s. So I'm just saying that people still are not considering the one that brought in about the school taking your kids out. If everybody's not doing that, just like I was saying, they're not going to be willing to pound the ground to go and take their children out of the school in large masses. Then forget it. I mean, if people are not willing to do things in mass numbers, can they arrest? Do they have enough prisons to arrest billions of people? It's just plain ludicrous to even talk about this stuff without people coming together in large masses, waking up or whatever they need to do, become illuminated. I mean, they want to celebrate all these holy days or holidays and whatever. If they had more, if they were looking for illumination as much as they're looking for holy day breaks, then maybe we would be able to be sovereign and to be able to know that we weren't born attached to laws or the Constitution or religion or anything else or anybody ruling over or dictating people, men dictating over women or blah, blah, blah. None of that.
Right, right.
None of that. So, but I'm going to let you go. I know you have a break, but I'm reading here where it's saying, you know, this claim seeks $100 million for the child survivor of Connecticut shooting. This is the first thing it says, $100 million claim on behalf of the 6-year-old survivor is the first legal action to come out of Connecticut, the Connecticut school shooting. Then it comes down and says that the unidentified client referred to as Jill Doe heard cursing, screaming, and shooting over the school intercom when the gunman, you know who that is, opened fire according to the claim filed by blah, blah, blah. As a consequence, the blah, blah, blah child has sustained emotional and psychological trauma and injury and the nature and extent. I mean, to me, it was awful, the things that's happening. But, I mean, let's face it, we have a very violent society here, and particularly in this country, and we are traumatized just daily.
Right.
A lot of, I mean, just over and over again.
Right.
And seeking these $100 million and, you know, blah, 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 and on and on and on. I mean, I'm reading the comments, and a lot of people are feeling this way. They're saying, why would a mother, you know, do this? They feel, you know, that it's just, I don't know. You have to read the comments, but you can see where people are truly at. When is this stuff going to stop? People do need protection to protect themselves. This country has taught us that we need, that I hate guns, but what are you going to do? When, if your own government comes against you or whoever, a boogeyman or real or imagined, but let's say real, what are you supposed to do to protect yourself when someone comes against you? I mean, I don't know what the school's going to do. I really don't know, because the suit is saying that the school failed to protect the children. You know, let me see how I was reading it. Okay, it says, yeah, education, they had failed to take appropriate steps to protect children from foreseeable harm. What are we going to do? Walk around in bodysuit, I mean,
right,
armor?
Right.
Still, are we going to do that as a country? Are we going, what are we going to do? Somebody call in and tell us, what are we going to do as humans? How are we going to evolve out of this? What can we do? I'd like to know.
I'm with you. You know, I think the answer is you can't do anything. Well, and to be honest, my own answer is that what you have to do is stay home and raise your kid. And everybody can't do this. People got their situations, and that ain't going to solve everything. You can't protect everybody from everything. You know, if you send your kid off to the public school, you know, there's some dangers out there. But the thing that's not remembered, this is so traumatic, but how many elementary schools are there in this country? And how many days of the week do they go to school, you know, throughout the year? So this is maybe like 1% or less than 1% of the time that something like this can happen. You know, nobody wants it to be there. You know, of course you don't want it to be your kid, but you can't prevent everything. And this is part of the psychology where we have been brainwashed and conditioned. You know, the trauma is so deep, and they keep showing it over and over and over. You know, everybody realizes, well, you know, I know it ain't happening every day, but what you going to do if it's your kid? You know, so now we into the talk about how we going to stop it from happening. You can't stop. You can't stop everything. That's just like this whole war on terror, and terrorists coming to get us, which, you know, obviously is fraud, and they don't do anything about the borders, but you can't stop everything. We cannot have a foolproof society. That is what has led us to this point where we got all these damn laws and we done lost all these freedoms, because there's this fraud that's been perpetrated where they actually have a lot of people thinking, well, you know, there's a lot we can do to stop all this terrorism, or there's a lot we can do to stop this and that and all that. So let's enact some more laws. Let's create more government. Let's create more bureaucracy. You know, all it's doing is imprisoning ourselves. And you ain't going to stop it, because the fact of the matter is where this stuff is coming from ain't even just Joe Blow some nutcase. This is organized through this freaking cabal. You know, all of these supposed terrorists, this one, somehow they all got connections to the government. You know, he happened to be, his father was in the military, or he was in the military, or he was working with the government, and then all of a sudden he turned kablooey or something and started going off on a shooting rampage. You know, it's an illusion. So I would say that the main thing is we need to give up on this idea of being safe from everything. It ain't going to happen. Never could have happened. It ain't going to happen. So that's the first thing.
What makes me question is, how can they get the masses to believe that one plane, I mean, someone brought this up, I mean, and we know about it, I mean, and I hate to use conspiracy and conspire to do
right,
it,
right.
But how can, just common sense, just say common sense, just, I mean, I don't know, one plane go into a building of tons of steel or whatever the hell, you know, how in the world can one plane going into that make a building come down? How in the hell can a shooter, 20-year-old shooter shoot all these children by himself. Just I mean, is it possible? is it really? I mean, how do people get to believe that this is even possible? Then you're saying, okay, the next question would be, if it's not, then why would this be perpetrated? Why is this being done? What is the purpose? Is it to put fear in? And so we know that if it's to put fear in, then the next thing you want is protection. So then you'll give up all of your little bit of freedom that you have. You'll give up all of that for some boogeyman to protect you, because you're not going to have any more protection than you ever had in the first place. Your body is just going to be more fried because of all of the radiation coming from, by the way, now they're doing studies on these scans in the airports because they may be affecting your health. Well, shit, they should have been, excuse me, but that was the point. I mean, so it's like people go and say, oh, please, the person that's abusing you, oh, please abuse me some more just so I can feel protected that you're abusing me. You know, I can feel really protected from you, even though you're abusing me. It just doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make common sense. I wish someone could get, I mean, either I'm not seeing things right, or I don't know. I don't know why, what happens that people can't say, well, let me think about this. Can one plane just fly into a tons of buildings and just make it fall down? Boom, like that. So, I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. I'm really ABC. Sometimes I just wonder, what is it? Well, I mean, I know that they're using chemicals and various things, and the young people, it just tears my heart that we raised, like you believe in the staying home. I believe that, but come on, I lived in Germany a long time. And let me tell you, they helped their people to do that because they care about their citizens, it seems like, more, because when the woman has a baby, they pay. They don't go, where's welfare, blah. They help the woman to be home with her child. Her job has gotten threatened.
Right.
3 years she can stay. Here, shit, if you get 6 weeks, I mean, that's without pay, you're doing great. I mean, so it's the system. It's not that women, there are a lot of women that want to stay home, and I'm talking about married women, not just single-parent women, but they can't afford to in this system, the way it's a systemic kind of madness that is awful here. It's anti-family, and people haven't woke up to that because Americans are revolutionaries. We don't need to hear anything from anyone else. Even if it's working for other human beings and it's killing us what we're doing, but we don't need to hear shit from anybody else. That's the point. If you want to just, do what you want to do because you say, well, I'm American and I don't need no damn anybody else telling me. I don't care what part of the world they're coming from. If it's working for them and they're having more peace, why cannot it be at least looked at and say, okay, what can we learn from this? What can we take from this or, leave there, so that we can evolve? That's what I don't mean tear each other down or to say something is bad or wrong. I just believe in evolving. I believe that everything we go through are lessons, life lessons, our community lessons, individual lessons, community lessons. To say it's right or wrong sort of tells me that you know what is good for everybody and everything, and that's a lie. There is no human being that's ever known what was, I can tell personally, that know what's good for me. If I live in my body, you can't tell me, even if you're a physician, that you know what's better for me, because I'm the one that lives in my body. I'm the one that feels pain or good. So you went to school for whatever. Fine. But you do not live in my body. So that's what I'm saying. And I have sense enough to know, because something within me tells me I don't have the right to go out here and murder somebody. I didn't bring them to life. I mean, this is what sanity is, that I don't have the right, unless somebody's coming at me, you know, to go and take them out. I didn't bring them here.
Well,
they're sovereign beings. I don't have that right to do it.
No,
and they don't have the right to do that to me. But, you know, maybe that's just a la-la fantasy world. But I don't see how that thinking is any worse than being in this damn matrix.
No, I hear you on that one.
So you take care. I'm going to
All right.
Food
hey,
thought.
Thanks a lot for calling in, B.
All right. Take care, ABC.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right.
Have a nice year, and everybody else have a great, but it's every day is new day to me.
Right
day.
On.
Wake up.
Okay. There you go. All right. Thanks. All right. So here we go. I've been missed a few breaks. I got to take a break, and this is what I want to do. I don't know. We may have some more people that want to call in, but I do want to take some time to just kind of expand on this idea of what this whole the fiscal cliff and where I was going with it, but also to just touch on what was being said tonight by a number of the callers. You know, there's always the question as to, you know, why do people not see what's going on, or what is it that we can do, and these kind of things. I mean, those are kind of big questions. To be honest with you, you know, I said it earlier when I was speaking with the caller, I think it was Greg, that there's 300 million people, 300 million of us here in the country. You know, trying to bring together a large enough group of people with a concerted platform or, you know, list of grievances or something, it's difficult, I would think. You know, the parties do it, Republican Party, Democrat Party. You see where that's got us. I don't so much look for something like that. But what I think we can do is, if we would just awaken to the idea of this fraud, and I'm trying to keep it very simple. You know, there's a sophistication to how this matrix works. And I'm not asking for or trying to have us deal with all the complexities. I'm trying to think of something that's simple enough that we can get on board with. And, you know, I don't know how it would, you know, how we could determine how successful it is or anything like this. I don't know. The only thing that I know is that as long as we are so easily misled and misdirected and distracted, that this agenda will continue. This is their success. This is how they operate. This is how they control, through misdirection, misleading, and distracting us, dividing us. So, you know, what's a singular rallying cry or purpose that those patriots can have that defines us, that says we're free people, born free? You know, you represent us, we're your bosses, we demand our freedom, we don't want to harm other people, we're not looking to go out and conquer other people, we just want the freedom to be who we are, to live how we want to live. You know, what's a singular type of ideal that we can rally around? And for my own position. I think it's getting rid of this war on terror. And you have to understand what that's about. This war on terror is about government takeover, about government control, elite control. And you have to accept that it's a fraud. There are no terrorists. There are a cabal of people conspiring to control and manipulate you. And they'll use any events, or I don't know what you want to call it. They'll take any action to make that happen. And the bottom line is, when you start to look into this stuff and connect dots, I mean, you see who it is. But that's too much for you to go to. We don't need to go there right now. Let's just stick with this war on terror is a fraud. So when I come back, I want to speak a little bit on the fiscal cliff and kind of continue to talk about how we can prepare our minds to think about this thing and to deal with it. And then if there's some time left, I'll take some calls. I'm sure there'll be some time left. So take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Hello again. Freedomist Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here, there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping, so go to freedomizerradio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on freedomizerradio.com.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy, but it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available. Committed to buying only from the growers when they can and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils, botanical organic additives, the best steam-expressed essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself or someone special in your life. Give the gift of beautiful, glowing skin. ESPBotanicals.com. Thank you so much for supporting us at Freedomizer Radio.
Hey guys, Proof here. Guess what? I just got a cell phone. Hey, for everyone that knows me, I'm not a fan of cell phones, but I just signed up with a company called Solavay. And Solavay is offering a plan right now with unlimited phone, text, and web for only $49 a month. Plus, if you refer a friend or two, you get a discounted rate for everyone you refer for as long as they have Solavay, not just for the first month, but for the whole time that person has Solavay. You sign up enough people, and Solavay pays you every month. What other cell phone company is going to pay you for service? Anyway, go to Solavay.com/freedomizer. That's Solavay, Solavei.com/freedomizer. Learn all about it. Plus, and another kicker, if you sign up three people under you, you'll get another month for free as well. Plus, they're going to pay you cash. Anyway, Solavay.com/freedomizer.
Not a war, it's a pageant. We need a theme, a song, some visuals. We need, you know, it's a pageant. It's like the Oscars, that's why we came to you.
I never won an Oscar.
And it's a damn shame you didn't, but you produced the Oscars.
Yes, indeed I did.
If you never won an Oscar, how would you like an ambassadorship? An ambassadorship? That's my favorite.
National bankers on the president. To tell the truth, most folks are hyper hesitant. Strike a nerve and they want to get belligerent. If you don't know the plan, man, you're better off ignorant. You want to hate, I don't feel compelled to diss you. Accumulate your bobbles and trinkets, bells and whistles. That apple pie no longer smells official. You work all day to pay for Israel's missiles. You want to pay your true respect to the departed. Acknowledge the method by which every war was started. Global controllers render the masses lethargic. They could save the planet, why do they choose to starve it? There's long been a cure, why they fight cancer? The right question gets you halfway to the right answer. Polite banter and sight grandeur, what you had in your hand. Happy with whatever the man might hand you.
Santo, that was just off the coast of Costa Rica, the name of that song. And probably next Friday he'll be back. I'll get in touch with him. But this last hour or so, you know, I wanted to try to flesh out this talk about the fiscal cliff. And for that matter, the talk about, you know, how are we to deal with this stuff? We're going into a new year, you know. Obama just won re-election after most everybody, most of y'all thought he's got to be, he's done, he's a one-termer, you know, the worst president in history and all this kind of stuff. I honestly think that most people still don't focus on the agenda. Maybe they don't know what the agenda is. They don't know how to find the agenda, how to put together the pieces to see the agenda. But what we do so often is we'll stay stuck on the one story. Like, I'm going to talk about the fiscal cliff here. But, you know, it was Benghazi. That's it. That's it. Let's stick on that. Fast and Furious. That's it. Let's stick on that. Obamacare. Let's stick on that. You know, these individual stories are brought up, and there's a lot of venting and a lot of angst, and nothing comes of it. Nothing ever comes up. Because these are just little stimuli to keep you irritated, agitated, and distracted. And to guide you to the pen so you go back into the little box that they want you in. You know, to see this big picture, to see what's going on, you have to get rid of the emotion. And you have to delay your reaction. And, you know, I'm sorry, it ain't easy. You got to use common sense. If somebody's coming at you with a knife or a gun, you don't delay your reaction. You got to react right now. But I'm talking about this politics, and your participation in it, or your understanding it, your viewpoint. As far as that goes, you got to delay your reaction. You got to stop, take a deep breath, and step back. You know, it's pretty simple, actually, when you're watching in the mass media. They tell you what they want you to do, you just do the opposite. And it's sophisticated enough that they will tell you to do something and they'll want you to do the opposite. So that'll happen too. That's why the best thing for you to do when you hear this stuff in the media, when it comes out and when they're throwing it at you and they're giving you a time clock and they're telling you how traumatic it is and people are crying and little kids are involved, the best thing for you to do is step back and cool your jets. Stop the emotion. Don't react. Give yourself some time to just chill and think about what's happening. Put it into context. Check the different sources, news sources, and see if they're all nudging you in a certain direction. Because this is most often what's happening. Problem, reaction, solution. Now with this fiscal cliff, you know, these big events, big stories have to be taken in context. You know, now here we are where we're being told through the media that we're on the cliff. We're on the edge. This is the fiscal cliff. You know, it sounds dire. You're on a cliff. You're about to go over the cliff. You know, that's an agitation. What they're telling you is, you know, you got to do something. You're about to fall off a cliff. Something's got to be done. You know, and if nothing else, what it's doing is stressing you out. You don't know if your tax is going up, if your welfare check is going to be cut Social Security going to be cut? Your husband or wife is going to get kicked out the military? And that stress works to weaken you. You know, how are you going to be talking about your freedoms and, you know, standing up for the freedom, your freedom of speech, your freedom of guns, when you worried about if you're going to have a job tomorrow? So, again, this stuff is coming at you and they're rolling it towards you. Now, it's this simple. These people, particularly since trickle down, and I'm not making this partisan, you know. I will say that whenever the Republicans or conservatives are involved or have some responsibility, I'm ready to jump right on it and stand up and shout it. And I do it for the left and the Democrats too. All of them are puppets. But amongst those that I talk to here on Blog Talk and the radio and, you know, the Awakened, the Truthers and all this stuff, everybody, so many call themselves conservative, and so many were or are on the right or Republican. And I find myself at odds with these people all the time because while they talk about being truthers or awake and awake and I'm awakened, you know, you listen to them and they start to slide into this kind of, well, you know, Nancy Pelosi, the liberals, and then you just, you know, it's like, ah, yeah, shut up. You throw the wall up. Here's another dummy that's a partisan. I ain't trying to listen to that. So when this stuff comes up with these people on the right, you know, I always view it as an opportunity to show these nut jobs, look, man, it's on both sides. You keep talking about liberals and Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid. You know, like you get rid of these people and it's going to make everything right in the world. Now it's Obama, 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 Obama Nation. These guys that was on before me. Obama, it's the Obama economy. It's the Obama. You know, like all of this stuff just started. You get rid of him and it's going to make everything all right. It's that silliness and actually stupidity that keeps us stuck in this rut. You can't see the forest for the trees. So we're at this supposed fiscal cliff. Since trickle-down theory, which, again, Daddy Bush called it voodoo economics when he was running against Reagan, what they did was they ran up the deficit. You know, I don't know how long the country's been in deficit, I guess, since the beginning or, you know, since way long ago. But when Reagan took over and said his job was to beat the communist evildoers and Gorbachev tear down this wall and all this stuff. And, you know, what was it? The problem with government is that it's in the way or, you know, all of these colloquialisms and cliches and the old wise man, he's an old guy and he's clever and worked in Hollywood. You know, you still got people singing the praises of this guy. But what he did was he outspent the Russians so that, what is what we're told, they couldn't keep up with the arms race, and we bankrupted them. So thanks to Reagan, he brought down communism. This is the narrative, because he outspent them. if you remember, he was talking about Star Wars, spending money on all that stuff. The bottom line is that Reagan increased the deficit to untold of proportions prior to him. And since then, it's continuously been expanding. And it's been expanding and expanding. And at the same time, Reagan, as Mr. Republican, he had cut taxes, but then at some point he decided he needed to increase them, so he raised them some. But you got this diabolical belief system in cutting the income for the government while you continue to expand the government. You know, the whole thing with Reagan, he was going to cut taxes and he was going to cut government. Well, you know, government didn't really get cut. He cut taxes for a minute, then he had to raise them. And they gave us this big thing about the military. Carter had cut the military so bad, so he needed to spend all this money on the military. Ever since then, the military has been out of control. You know, Daddy Bush came in, he went to with Desert Storm with Storm and Norman and all that crap, and he just died here recently. And who knows about that? I mean, he's 78. Could be natural, but maybe he knew too much. So Daddy Bush, Reagan took us to Grenada and he went over to Beirut. You know, military adventurism is what it is. So Daddy Bush came in, he took us Desert Storm. Clinton came in and he took us to somewhere in Europe, to Budapest or some whatever he was doing. He's expanding the military. Then this damn devil baby Bush came in and 9-1-1. And that one, all hell broke loose. They just opened the coffers. Opened the treasury up, told the military, take what you need, created Department of Homeland Security. And the thing about it, at the same time he's doing this, he cut taxes. My point is, this was a long time coming. We've been driven to this point. Now everybody's talking about the deficit is so crazy. What did you think was going to happen? You spending and spending, and half the people supported that stuff. Well, we got to beat the Russians. Well, we got to go in there and stop Saddam from going to Kuwait. What the hell we got to go over there for? Then Clinton comes along. Well, we got to go to Hungary or something, and Milosevic or whatever was going on in Europe, you know. The damn Democrats supported that going on. Every time one of these guys comes in, it's some kind of military adventurism, and they always got a good group on their side. The left got their group and the right on their group supporting why we got to go do it. It's exactly what was it Truman that said that, or Eisenhower, warning against the military-industrial complex? This has been, it's like you weaned a baby since this trickle-down theory, and now it's a grown-ass man. So, yeah, the deficit is out of control. And then you talk about cutting taxes at the same time. Look, I don't want to pay taxes. Don't nobody want to pay taxes. You know, that's stupid. But if you ain't paying taxes, you got to cut the spending. Republicans ain't cut the spending. Democrats ain't cut the spending. The point is, it's a trap. So here we are, 2012. And again, if you're honest, you would remember that all throughout this war on terror when Bush was in there, we wouldn't get no budget. The damn wars wasn't even on the books. That's the first I had heard of these, I forget what it was called, supplemental budgets or some kind of crap. Every budget went for like 3 months. We need $40 billion emergency funding. 3 months later, they needed another $50 billion. 6 months later, they needed another $100 billion. A budget never lasted for a whole year. It was in increments of months. That was under Bush. And the reason it's important to say this is because don't act like it just started. If you keep talking about it started under Obama, then the only agenda is going to be to get to Obama out. Then the Republican will come in and do the same thing, and he'll blame Obama, just like Obama's blaming Bush, just like Bush blamed Clinton. That's a stupid dummy game for morons. It ain't about that. It's about the progression of the agenda, which is indebting this country more and more year after year to the point that the straw breaks the camel's back. So here we are at this fiscal cliff, supposedly. And I'm saying, I don't know. Maybe it is a fiscal cliff. Maybe they decided, okay, we're good. That's enough. Let's go ahead and do it. Let's jump over the cliff. We'll go ahead and bring in this austerity. I don't think it's time yet, though. I don't think it's enough debt. I think they want to go higher. They got all this military adventure. They still got to go to war with what Nana Obama just talked about, sending troops into Africa to 35 countries or something. And then we got Israel telling us we're going to Iran, our masters. So they don't want the military to get cut. And this supposed fiscal cliff thing is supposed to kick in automatic cuts to the military too, along with the other one. So I'm doubting that we're gonna go over the cliff. But who knows? That's not as important. What's important is that you understand that this whole thing is about control. And the country being indebted, the thing you need to ask yourself is, indebted to who? Because the one we're indebted to is the one that's got the power. Yeah, we know about China. The last I heard, though, the Federal Reserve had more. And when we say that China is holding a lot of our debt, or England or Japan, what does that really mean? Is it that country or that country's central bank? All these bankers are tied in together. So whether or not we go over this supposed fiscal cliff, what's happening is that, again, these central banks becoming more empowered. The beast is being fed. What's this guy Geithner talking about? What Monday is going to be we run out of money on Monday. He's the central bank's errand boy. And the theater, the disagreement, is you got the stupid GOP supposedly holding out. Obama says he wants taxes to go up on the rich. I heard somebody talking about it on C-SPAN this morning. They said if that happens, if it goes up just on the people that's making $250,000 or maybe it was $500,000 or more, it equates to getting an extra $85 billion or $100 billion a year in taxes if they raise the taxes on those people. You know, that ain't going to solve the debt problem. So Obama's scams and tricks ain't really doing nothing. But why would you play into that? You know, why would you give him that and say, well, no, it's all or nothing. Everybody's taxes is going up or nobody's. When the damn rich been getting over for the past 30 years. So what if they got to pay a little bit more? Damn, 2% of the population, the rest of us get to keep our tax breaks. Why would you give that to Obama? Because it's theater is what it is. And what we need to understand is that it's theater. And what we need to do is stop playing into this left, right stuff. And look, I know that a good number of people, particularly listening now, would say, no, you know, hey, I ain't about that stuff, that stupid left, right, and partisans. I know you say that. But, you know, then they start opening their mouth and you hear them, the liberals this and the liberals that and the Democrats this and Nancy Pelosi. Every time I hear that, I feel like punching somebody in the face. Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid. You know, it's like you show your real colors. You say you ain't a partisan, but all you do is talk partisan. And again, it's important because what it looks like is you won't acknowledge the how Reagan took the deficit up. You know, remember that damn Iran-Contra? You talk about secret government and working outside of the rule of law. Iran-Contra, Oliver North. What's that? Poindexter. That Meese. I think it was Edwin Meese or something, his attorney general. Those people were a bunch of crooks. You won't even acknowledge it. So how can anybody take you seriously when you talk about being awake? I mean, you got to understand all of this stuff is working together. This is a trajectory. And all I'm asking of you is that you at least understand that this war on terror is a foundation. It holds up all of this stuff. You know, now you're complaining about your gun rights, Second Amendment, and the police is out of control, the TSA. This is all the war on terror. This is their foundation. It exists because of the war on terror. As long as you keep talking about Muslims coming to kill you or some stupid crap like that, then you enable and support this tyranny. It's like I was saying earlier, back up, stop reacting emotionally. You know, turn off your religious affiliation for 30 seconds and use some rational and logical thinking, some critical thinking. This stuff happens over and over and over again, and everybody keeps asking why, and everybody says people got to wake up. None of it's going to make a difference if you continue to support this war on terror. And part of that is if you continue to go on and on about Muslims coming to get you, or going on and on about we got to support Israel, they are friends. You know, you're talking about a foreign country. You enable this. Now, there's a couple of articles that I was trying to get to here. This one here talks about how Alan Greenspan, professional economy wrecker Alan Greenspan, is at the heart of the insidious Fix the Debt campaign. And what it talks about is there was an article in, was it the New York Times, that talked about how Greenspan met with some Democrat guy and they were talking about this strategy of fixing the debt. And, you know, again, I talked about Reagan. Greenspan was, I think Reagan is the one that brought Greenspan in. And Greenspan is the guy that kept the interest rates so low and, you know, the economy seemed to be doing great and all this kind of stuff. I think at one time he talked about something with the stock market, irrational exuberance. But through his policies working with the Federal Reserve, they helped blow up this bubble. You know, where you had the houses appreciating at 5 to 10% every year. You buy a house for $60,000 and in 5 years it's worth $150,000. That's irrational. It can't continue. But he helped it by keeping those interest rates so low. Yeah, it's all fun and good while you're in that time enjoying your returns and seeing your 401k going up. But then when the inevitable crash comes, all of a sudden you crying, hey, something ain't fair. Well, where does it say? I'm just going to read a little bit of this. It says, Alan Greenspan will go down in history as the person who has done more damage to the U.S. economy and society than anyone who was not a foreign enemy. In fact, the destruction he wreaked through his incompetence would also exceed the damage caused by almost all would-be enemies as well. Now, this is just somebody's article, but I think he makes some points. Goes on to say, Greenspan accomplished the remarkable feat as Fed chair of ignoring the growth of the $8 trillion housing bubble. This bubble could not have been easier to see if it had been 500 feet high and lit up with huge neon signs saying, huge housing bubble. But Greenspan insisted the bubble was not there. And Greenspan somehow didn't recognize that the collapse of this massive bubble would devastate the economy. The bubble was generating over $1 trillion in annual demand through its direct impact on housing construction and its indirect impact on consumption through the housing wealth effect. This demand would inevitably disappear when the bubble bursts, leaving a huge hole in the demand. Let me skip down. It says, this is why it would have been worth highlighting the news contained in a New York Times article on the origins of the, this is a quote, campaign to fix the debt, the corporate financed effort to reduce the deficit. The article tells readers in passing, this is a quote, the campaign to fix the debt started to come together at a salon dinner held in the backyard of Senator Mark Warner, Democrat of Virginia, in the fall of 2011. An influential group of economic, political, and business leaders, including the former Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan and Mark Bertolini, the chief executive of the Aetna Insurance Company, huddled in a too small tent in the pouring rain. This is such an amazing tidbit that it really should have been the lead of the article. The person most responsible for wrecking the economy and incidentally adding trillions of dollars to the debt was there at the founding of the campaign to fix the debt. Wow, what did Santa get you for Christmas? Is what he says. But it shows you, you know, look, the whole thing was a scam and a con. It was like that pump and dump. You know, it was that simple. One of those pump and dump schemes that they do in the stock market. You know, tell you how great this stock is. You need to go out and get it now. It's only a 5 cents. And once enough of y'all go out there to get it, and it gets up to $1.50 or something, then they cash out and leave you holding the bag. You watch your stock fall from $1.50 back to 2 cents. You bought it for 5 cents. That's all it was. So now that they've crashed the economy, they got the answer how to fix it. Which means you need to pay for it. Raise your taxes. Take away your services. Take away your Social Security. Take away your Medicare. Take away your, welfare, reduced services, and they got half of y'all screaming about, yeah, these people that's mooching off the government, I'm paying my taxes. They're just too stupid to look at these people that stole all the money, got it in foreign banks. It's disgusting. And it'll continue to be like that as long as you ain't paying attention to the agenda and you're focused on this person or this party. You know, we talk about what's the answers or what can we do. Look, you know, who knows? Maybe you guys know. I don't know. But the one thing we have to do is understand that you can't keep pinning this on this person or this party. These people own all of it. You might not want to hear it. You might not like it. But there's a cabal that's running this. And I'm going to give you this, and then I see I got a caller. I'm going to go ahead and bring up this caller. But this article talks about it. They own both sides, the left and the right. Here's another article. Democrats and Republicans prepare major cuts in workers' wages and benefits. I need to read this one. Hold on, I think I'm going to read a little bit of this. It says, 4 days before the new year triggers a series of tax increases and budget cuts, both the Obama administration and congressional leaders are whipping up a crisis atmosphere to justify a tax on the social benefits and living standards of working people. Whether or not there is a last-minute deal to postpone some elements of the so-called fiscal cliff, the outcome of the political charade in Washington is not in doubt. The political representatives of the super-rich, Democrats and Republicans alike, are orchestrating events to ensure that the main burden of the crisis falls on those least able to defend themselves, including the unemployed, the sick, the elderly, and the poor. All the proposals from the Obama administration and the Republican leadership to address the fiscal cliff, in quotes, as measures that could take effect at the new year, are premised on an historic attack on social programs that benefit the working class. Among the measures that could take effect at the new year are the following. The expiration of extended unemployment benefits for more than 2 million workers who have been jobless for 6 months or more. Rescinding the Bush-era tax cuts on all those paying income tax, cutting nearly $50 a week from a family making the U.S. median income of $52,000 a year. The restoration of the payroll tax to the level that prevailed in 2010, effectively a wage cut of 2% for every worker making less than $107,000 a year or an additional $20 a week from the median family income. The elimination of a series of tax credits for college students and low-income families with children. Across-the-board spending cuts in a wide range of domestic programs under the sequester provision negotiated by Obama and congressional Republicans in 2011. A sharp decline in Medicare reimbursements to physicians, which is likely to reduce the number of doctors willing to take Medicare patients. The combined effect of these measures on working-class living standards is staggering, particularly for workers who are unemployed or surviving on low wages. There will be a dramatic increase in poverty, hunger, and homelessness, and in the number of people foregoing medical care and other necessities because they cannot afford them. And this goes to what I'm talking about with the physical cliff. You know, when these people lose these benefits or can't afford to go to the hospital, what's this going to do to society? I ain't talking about giving people stuff for free or socialism or communism. But I'm saying, what's going to happen when these people don't have money to pay the rent or to go get seen at the hospital and this kind of stuff, and you want to go to the store and get ice cream with your kids? You got a bunch of people standing around on the corner. Everywhere you go, There's people begging or some kind of, you know, you can't relax and go shopping with your kids or go to the store or go to the park without some people hanging around and, hey, man, you got a dollar? Or maybe you get mugged or something. You know, there's consequences to this stuff. And the bottom line is these people that have been getting over all this time, they're going to do all right. It's a scam and a sucker's game. Let me go to this call. 914, who do we have there? You there, caller? 914. Okay, I guess she stepped away. So which one was that? That was the article on the Democrats and Republicans. This other one, I've been dropping this in here about this Lagarde, IMF's Lagarde. And this is actually from, I think it's from, December 9th. But this is still very significant. One of the things that I talked about with this economy and the current situation here in the country, the debt deficit, and you know how this thing is playing out, is I've often talked about how we have to look at what's going on in Europe. You know, I understand that's a foreign, well, those are foreign countries. You know, you got Greece and Italy and Portugal. There's a good number of them over there that's having financial problems. You know, pretty much everybody is, because all the countries have been looted. Well, if you pay attention to the news, and if you've seen it, there in Europe, they've already been undergoing this austerity stuff. And these people are, there's been some rioting and a lot of protests. And there's some kind of horror stories out there, too. Let's talk about how people are leaving their kids on the doorsteps of churches and stuff because they can't feed them. It's just some crazy stuff. I'm trying to see if I can pull up anything. I actually have a bunch of stuff. I just don't want to keep dropping everything all in the chat, but here's one that says, thousand stage demo protesting austerity measures in Portugal. All you got to do is just, you go to YouTube and put in austerity, you know, a bunch of stuff will come up. Here's a video about protests and Italy about austerity measures there. But the bottom line is that services are being cut, people are losing benefits, and you know, that's what's going to come here. The thing that's very concerning here in the States is, you know, you got Spain or Portugal or Italy, these are primarily heterogeneous societies. You know, you got, listen, if we say Spain, all of these white Spaniards share the same history and background and language, and you know, for the most part, and look, everybody's got immigration, so they got their immigration too, but look, it ain't nothing like it is here in the States. If it's Spain, it's for Spaniards. If it's Italy, it's for Italians. And Portugal, for the Portuguese. So in these countries, these people share the same history, same ethnicity, pretty much the same religion and all this kind of stuff. So they're going through these austerity policies as a unified group. Here in the States, there's a collage. A bunch of different constituencies. So when we start going through austerity, a bunch of finger pointing, a bunch of he got more than me and you got less than me. I'm getting mine before somebody gets there. You know, you got chaos likely to result out of this. Well, it's going to result out of it, but it is likely to be much worse than what we're seeing there in Europe. I dropped a couple different links in there. You know, what's that one? Spain, Italy, Portugal. It's all over Europe. And that's what we're likely to see happening here. It's just out of control. Now, I'm going to read this one last article about this fiscal cliff. And this one is actually titled Fiscal Cliff, What is the Illuminati Endgame? And this is, again, by Henry McCall, which he has an interesting take on it. So where are we? Okay. And again, this is, you know, this guy's opinion on it, but he makes a very good point, you know, and it's kind of a different take on this whole thing compared to what you normally hear. So I want to put this out there. And he mentions these Koch brothers. Says fiscal cliff, what is the Illuminati endgame? There's a picture here of this one Koch brother. It says the Zionist billionaires who control politics, updated September 2010. Then he gives a quote by Lenin: the best way to control the opposition is to lead it. Goes on to say the U.S. economy is on the cusp of a recovery fueled by Illuminati money creation at the rate of $1 trillion a year. Despite fiscal cliff jitters, the stock market is near all-time highs, proof that money supply is the oxygen of the economy. This is dated December 26. But wait, along come the Tea Party Republicans who want to take away the punch bowl through tax increases and spending cuts. They are the creation of the Illuminati Jewish, is what he writes, Koch brothers, described in this article. If the Tea Party were for real, it would disavow debt created out of thin air, i.e., more than half the debt doesn't need to be repaid. And that's what I advocate. He says, instead, they should be calling for debt-free, interest-free money creation. The money supply is a medium of exchange. Like oxygen, no one should own it. The Illuminati are pressing the accelerator, Obama, and the brake, Boehner, at the same time. What is their game? I think that this is taken from that earlier article that I read. It goes on to say, given their track record of subversion, my guess is that they will use the fiscal cliff to create maximum damage and disruption and make the people more disillusioned with democracy. I hope I'm wrong. Before Christmas, Senator Joe Lieberman, and then he's got in parentheses, Senator for Tel Aviv, Herzliya, and B'nai Brak, said missing the deadline would be the most colossal consequential act of congressional irresponsibility in a long time. He also said that the probability was now greater that this would happen. I'd like the opinion of financial mavens among my readers. He goes on to say, Bloomberg News has a story on how the Zionist Koch brothers bankrolled the campaigns of governors like Scott Walker, who are cutting union powers. Whether we agree with this policy or not, these billionaires continue to define the political discourse in left-right terms when they should be defined as people versus Illuminati, left and right. The September 20th, 2010 issue of the New Yorker had a profile of David and Charles Koch, entitled The Billionaire Brothers Who Are Waging a War Against Obama. According to the article by Jane Mayer, the Kochs bankroll a plethora of libertarian and right-wing lobbies, think tanks, and foundations, which in turn fund and direct the grassroots Tea Party movement. And I'll just say real quick, I supported the Tea Party when they first started out with Ron Paul, but as soon as Sarah Palin and Glenn Beck got involved, I saw it was a bunch of crap. He goes on to say, and this is a quote, I guess, from the article, the anti-government fervor infusing the 2010 elections represents a political triumph for the Kochs, she writes, by giving money to educate, in quotes, finance, and organize Tea Party protesters, they have helped turn their private agenda into a mass movement. Meyer neglects to mention that the Kochs are Jews or crypto Jews. Instead, she tries to give them a goy gloss. Now, this guy, he calls it out and he points out that this Judaism is part of this crap. But anyway, goes on to say that Patriarch Fred Koch, a founding member of the John Birch Society, was a real John Wayne type. He was the son of a Dutch printer who emphasized rugged pursuits. He took his four sons big game hunting in Africa and made them do farm labor at the family ranch. Surprising then to learn that Fred and his sons are on a list of Jewish billionaires, and free enterprise Fred made his fortune building refineries for the genocidal communist dictator Joseph Stalin in the 1930s. The Birch Society was and is an Illuminati Jewish front. Liberals whinge about these nefarious rednecks who oppose Obamacare and climate change and lobby for less taxes and government interference. But that's not the real story here. The real story is that Jane Meyer works for another Illuminati Jewish billionaire, publisher Sam Newhouse. Her job is to create the illusion of free democratic discourse. Between the Sam Newhouses and George Soros's on the left, and the Kochs and the Robert Murdochs on the right, a dozen Illuminati Masonic Jewish billionaires are able to define political discourse in America. And that's it right there. You know, this is the cabal. You got, they own people on the left, this Sam Newhouse and George Soros, and then they got the Kochs and the Murdochs on the right defining the political discourse. So, you know, you're arguing in an echo chamber, but it's all controlled. Goes on to say, so while we're busy arguing about government intervention, we ignore the long list of things these billionaires apparently agree on. Israel, 9-1-1, the war on terror, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, the Federal Reserve, trillion-dollar bank bailouts, liberal immigration policy, and equal rights for gays and lesbians, i.e. undermining marriage and family by promoting homosexual norms. You can bet they also agree on world government. You know, this is just an excellent point right here. And this is what I try to get at. You know, we spend time arguing over the bullshit while the real deal is what I just dropped in the chat room there. It goes on to say, this is why nothing important changes. This is why crack dealer and bathhouse boy Barack Obama is our president. What conservative, quotes, alternative was the Zionist created Mitt Romney. The billionaires of Zion are laughing up their sleeves at the goyim. It talks about the Koch empire here. It says Koch Industries is the second largest private company in America after Cargill. With an annual revenue of $100 billion, the company was just $6.3 billion shy of first place in 2008. Ownership is kept strictly in the family, with the company being split roughly between Paul and David Koch, who are worth about $20 billion apiece. Today, it operates thousands of miles of pipelines in the United States, refines 800,000 barrels of crude oil daily, buys and sells the most asphalt in the nation, is among the top 10 cattle producers, and is among the 50 largest landowners. According to the New Yorker, the company has grown spectacularly since their father, Fred, died in 1967, and the brothers took charge. The company expanded at an unreal rate. Its revenues increased from $100 million in 1966 to $100 billion in 2008. That's 1,000-fold growth. The Kochs operate oil refineries in Alaska, Texas, and Minnesota and control some 4,000 miles of pipeline. Koch Industries owns Brawny Paper Towels, Dixie Cups, Georgia Pacific Lumber, Stainmaster Carpet, and Lycra, among other products. According to researcher Yasha Levine, part of this growth was fueled by corruption. This is a quote. He says, William Koch, the third brother who had a falling out with Charles and David back in the 80s over Charles's sociopathic management style, appeared on 60 Minutes in November 2000 to tell the world that Koch Industries was a criminal enterprise. And this is a quote from that guy. He said, it was my family company. I was out of it, he says, but that's what appalled me so much. I did not want my family, my legacy, my father's legacy, to be based upon organized crime. Charles Koch's racket was very simple, explained William. With its extensive oil pipe network, Koch Industries' role as an oil middleman, it buys crude from someone's well and sells it to a refinery, makes it easy to steal millions of dollars worth of oil by skimming just a little off the top of each transaction, or what they call cheating measurements in the oil trade. According to William, wells located on federal and Native American lands were the prime targets of the Koch scam. It is estimated they stole $230 million. Talks about Fred Koch, the founder and the John Birch Society. Rich Illuminati Jews and Masons not only created communism in Russia, they created anti-communism in the USA. And this is what I talk about. This is why I can't stand hearing people go on and on and on about socialism, communism, socialism, communism. I ain't saying that that's not happening. But my point is, why are you so busy talking that stuff up, you ignoring these supposed capitalists and what they're doing over here? These people control all of it. So when I hear you going on hammering on one side, it tells me that you don't really see the big picture. It goes on, Fred Koch is born 1900, died in 67, was a chemical engineer who invented a new process for refining oil. Supposedly, he was shut out of the U.S. by the Rockefellers and had to go work for Stalin. He built many refineries in Soviet Russia and trained Russian engineers to operate them. Supposedly, he became disillusioned with communism and became a founding member of the John Birch Society in the 1950s. The trouble is that according to the 1964-65 edition of Who's Who, this militant anti-communist was still building refineries in Russia and Eastern Europe. Moreover, the John Birch Society was founded by members of the Council on Foreign Relations, many of whom were Masons and staffed by former communist writers. For example, the founder, Robert Welch, had been a member of the Communist Front League for Industrial Democracy. William Greed, for many years chairman of the Executive Council of the JBS, was a Fed banker. Robert Love, member of the Governing Council, was a 32nd degree Mason. William McMillan was a member of the CFR. Writers Eugene Lyons and Harold Varney used to work for the Communist Workers' World. Helen Peters is the JBS subversive. Helen Peters wrote, "Is the JBS subversive?" That's in July 1970. Ralph Epperson was on their Speaker's Bureau, but they expelled him from the JBS when he mentioned Freemasonry in one of his speeches somewhere. The JBS strongly does not want Freemasonry mentioned. According to Eustace Mullins, the founder, Robert Welch, was a 32nd degree Mason. Evidently, the same treatment applies to Zionism, which is part of the Masonic fraternity. It goes on to say, politics is a charade. Illuminati insider Harold Rosenthal explained how they pit labor left versus management right. And this is a quote. This is Harold Rosenthal explaining about it. He says, in modern industry, capital, which force we represent, is at the apex. Both management and labor are on the base of this triangle. They continually stand opposed to each other, and their attention is never directed to the head of their problem. That's exactly what I've been saying. He goes on to say, at first, by controlling the banking system, we were able to control corporation capital. Through this, we acquired total monopoly of the movie industry, the radio networks, and the newly developing television media. the printing industry, newspapers, periodicals, and technical journals had already fallen into our hands. The richest plum was later to come when we took over the publication of all school materials. Through these vehicles, we could mold public opinion to suit our own purposes. The people are only stupid pigs that grunt and squeal the chance we give them, whether they be truth or lies. Harold Rosenthal wrote that. He goes on to say, or the article goes on to say, thus the Illuminati have a monopoly over our minds. By controlling both left and right, education and the mass media, the Masonic Jewish billionaires ensure that the masses are tractable. As the late, great Alan Stang warned, the Tea Party is a psyop meant to channel the patriot movement into the left versus right matrix. Politics is like a house league in sports. The different teams are all Masons or are beholden to them. Thus, there's little chance of democratic change. Anyone who wants to play must abide by the rules. It's amusing to see progressives rail against the Tea Party and their sponsors. They are as much billionaire puppets as the rednecks they condemn. The Illuminati Jewish bank billionaires have used anti-Semitism to give themselves immunity from criticism. However, they are responsible for anti-Semitism and for the suffering of their fellow Jews. Therefore, they don't deserve such consideration. You guys should really check out this article. I'm going to drop it in there one more time. It has links embedded in it. You can get more details. Look, I got 90 seconds left. Thanks for tuning in. Everybody stay tuned for Vicky coming up. Vicky and Reno, or Heidi and Reno. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Great show. Have a great night, everybody.
Don't like who the fuck I be, cause I vow to liquidate the FCC and utilize advanced technology to make a murderous army follow me. Arch enemy of the police state, they cannot stand T-R-U-G-H. Intellectual cowards run away from debates. They built an industry on unadulterated hate. Illuminati can't buy me or play me. I am not your Kanye West or Jay-Z. The Rockefellers get vigorous kicks from killing crackers, wetbacks, wops, niggas, and spicks. Only an invalid don't understand why I'm insulted. Naming they record labels after motherfucking vultures. Cultures are created by monsters with the intent to incarcerate you. Get